In the wake of the Aurora, Colorado shooting, President Obama says his administration hasn't done enough to prevent weapons from getting into the hands of criminals, and he's pledging to work with lawmakers to correct that. Mitt Romney, speaking with NBC's Brian Williams, says he disagrees.
I don't happen to believe that America needs new gun laws.
This is NBC News Radio. Times are tough all over the world, and the economy in Egypt has led the Olympic Committee there to outfit its athletes with fake Nike gear. Here's NBC's Scott Walterman with more.
The bags that Egypt's Olympic Committee gave the athletes have large Nike logos on the front, but the zippers say Adidas. The head of the Olympic Committee for Egypt, General Mohammed Ahmed Ali, told the Associated Press at a telephone interview they signed with a Chinese distributor in light of Egypt's economic situation, knowing that the goods were counterfeit. Scott Walterman, NBC News Radio.
The Jackson family feud is growing. Michael Jackson's children have been temporarily taken away from his mother. She's on her way back to Southern California, saying she's devastated by the judge's ruling. And a photographer who chased Justin Bieber at high speeds on an L.A. freeway faces charges. It's the first time a new law designed to stop just this kind of thing has been used. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
With an industry-leading distribution network, Grainger can save you tons of downtime by offering over 900,000 products, many ready to ship right when you need them. In fact, 99% of items ordered ship same day. So fast, the International Acronym Committee is considering changing ASAP to ASAG, or as soon as Grainger. At least they would be considering it if there were such a committee. To help keep your business running efficiently, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Neither the teeming rains of India, nor the snows of Kilimanjaro, nor the glare of a paparazzi at a Hollywood opening can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
Today we finally find out if the world's most popular social network is also a big money maker. Facebook to release its first quarterly earnings report as a public company after Wall Street's closing bell today. Facebook has warned Wall Street investors that their assessment of its money-making ability has been way too high, so analysts have been scaling back their estimates on Facebook. They ought to be scaling back even more this morning following tough news from Facebook game maker Zynga, which generates 15% of Facebook's revenue. Zynga has reported a far bigger than expected loss for last quarter, the creator of games such as Farmville and Cityville posting a $22.8 million loss for last quarter, even though revenue increased. Zynga stock tumbled more than 40% in extended trades. Newsweek magazine soon can be an online-only publication. Wall Street Journal reports Newsweek parent IAC Interactive at least is thinking about that move. Stock futures down, S&P futures losing 5 points. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Business owners, how would you like to try a lead generation tool that is effective at finding targeted new prospects for free? Hoovers makes it easy to find the right business leads fast. They're so sure this technology can rev up your sales. They're offering you 50 free leads plus a 24-hour free trial. Log on now to hooversfree.com or call 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. Don't miss out. Go to hooversfree.com. That's hooversfree.com.
Hiya, Fred.
Hello, Beth.
You seen Eddie?
Yeah, he's in my workshop picking out tools to borrow.
Well, tell him I took the car to the Parts Plus Car Care Center for service.
So he'll be carless? Well, I hope he doesn't want me to run him around doing errands.
Oh, don't worry about that. I've got him rebuilding the handrail on the back step.
Oh, there goes my good saw.
He'll be busy with that all afternoon. And besides, Parts Plus won't keep me long. They never do.
Now hurry back.
For the location nearest you, go to PartsPlus.com.
And now Geico presents 30 Seconds with Maxwell the Pig.
Hey, everyone. I'm Maxwell, and my life is kind of awesome because whenever Geico wants to talk about their new mobile app, they're like, hey, Maxwell, you feel like coming to the studio and talking about how the app lets you manage your policy, you know, and get roadside help and even customize it with your favorite Geico character? And I'm like, maybe. Are there going to be snacks?
Everything you love about Geico, now mobile. Download the new Geico app today.
Not long ago, I went to Wells Fargo to talk about ways they could help with my business's cash flow.
It often takes 3 days or more for merchants to get paid from any credit or debit card transactions.
Exactly.
Well, we could set you up with a merchant services account where you could get paid as soon as the next business day for most transactions.
That was a conversation worth having, and the $100 reward for opening a new merchant services account made me feel even better.
Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. See banker for offer details. Wells Fargo Bank.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
They call us a mob.
To try to divide us.
They tell us prosperity should start at the top and to wait for it to trickle down.
More like piddle down.
They refuse to compromise for the good of the country.
When you're right, you don't have to compromise. Compromise is for people that are wrong.
Instead, caring more about the politics of politics.
I don't know why he believes that it's going to be any easier for Republicans than Democrats to make these tough decisions.
They think we have no choice but to sit back and take it.
Think again.
No more. This is First Shift with Tony Trevino.
And welcome, everybody. It is Thursday. The 26th day of July, 2012. Hope you're all doing well on this very humid day, and it is going to be a hot and humid one. Welcome back to First Shift. We've got a great show planned for you today, and we're going to walk through it all here for you in just a minute as we ramp up to focus on the American Federation of Teachers Conference, which is in Detroit. We want to welcome teachers from all over the world, actually, to our community. And, of course, we anticipate that they're going to have a wonderful time. One of the hosts, David Hecker, will be with us in just a couple hours, but we'll get to that in just a moment. In fact, why don't we get to it all right now? A little later on in the show today, a little after 7 o'clock, President of Wayne State University's American Association of University Professors, Charlie Parrish, will join us once again. He was with us before to talk about a story that I mentioned briefly on the show on Tuesday about Wayne State University changing or wanting to change the rules mid-stroke. We'll tell you what that's all about. Susan Demas from MirrorsandMLive.com will be with us to go over some headlines happening around the state, certainly around the state capitol. We'll visit with David Hecker, as I said, from the American Federation of Teachers, and Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, will join us just before we scoot out of here today to share with us a story about Senate hopeful Clark Durant and his daughter in what should be enough to end his candidacy. Whether or not it does, well, frankly, is up to the candidate, maybe up to you. But let's get this thing going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Well, our first word today, interestingly enough, is conservative. Conservative. You know, you think about conservative. The word conservative, of course, skews interesting images if you listen to political talk radio because you automatically think politics. But, you know, do we not all have a little conservative in us? You know, if you don't like spicy foods, you might be a little conservative in how you spice up your foods, right? So that would make you, well, would that make you conservative? I'll let you debate that amongst yourselves. I'm just saying, there are lots of ways to use the word conservative. To conserve something is to, you know, expend resources carefully, right? That can be a good thing. That can also, as we know, not be a good thing, depending on what it is that we're talking about. Conservative is not always a political label, although it certainly is applicable, in, as I said, in the case of talking about this show. But the word conservative is certainly not a four-letter word, literally or figuratively. And so as we think about the word conservative, don't be afraid to use it. In fact, I would say embrace it and then use it for what you need to use it for. Yes, I am conservative as it relates to how much pollution I want going into the air, but I think conservatives that are along the political bent need to have their heads examined. In fact, I even suggested a couple times in the last week or so that it's a mental illness to be a conservative, but to be a conservative and to be conservative, depending on what you're being conservative about, are two very different things. All right, I've made my point. I believe I have anyway. And today's first word is conservative. All right, I was just trying to quickly think of a segue between that and saying hello to Jeff, so I'll just forget the segue. And sometimes you just have to, I mean, not that I couldn't, but I don't like to stretch it. So good morning, Jeff. Happy conservative Thursday to you.
Way to conserve your words on the intro.
Well, conservatively. Yeah, see, it just wasn't working.
It doesn't work. Yeah. Well, when you're using that word, nothing works, right?
You're right. So we'll let it go.
Your boys got back on track last night?
The boys are back, and I'm happy to hear it. Yeah, no, I was real pleased that they won last night, and they played a good game and, you know, got some decent pitching again. By the way, the Oakland A's continue to be on fire. They won 16-0 last
night. I was wondering if you were going to say, that's unreal, that lineup. By the way, if you've gone up and down that lineup, Brandon Inge bats, he's batting 200, and he's not even the worst hitter in their starting lineup.
That's the crazy thing.
He's not even the second worst hitter in their starting lineup.
Yeah.
He's third. I mean, but still, they have, like, I don't even know if they have a 300. I think they have maybe one guy approaching 300. So their lineup's not good, and they put 16 out there last night. And then some pitcher I've never heard of, A.J. Griffin, just shut out the Blue Jays. That was a crazy score, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, it was. Well, anyway, we're happy. Our Tigers won 5-3, and we're happy once again. They finally win in Cleveland for the first time this year.
Are you getting more confident in Max Scherzer? Or
well, yeah, you know, he's got 10 victories this year, which is nice. I have confidence in Max Scherzer.
He got into a little sticky situation last night and was giving up runs and was in the thick of it, and then suddenly it's just like struck out. I think as Drubal Cabrera, and when I saw that, I'm like, all right, we're good now. Like, that was it. That was his one. You know how, like, when Bonderman was around, he'd get into a first inning jam, or you know, you could just tell with certain pitchers that it was like, this is it, their moment. If they get through this, we'll be good. If they don't, it's going to blow up in our face. And that was last night for Scherzer. I was watching him, like, all right, I think we're good for tonight.
I love the name Adrubal, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know where someone is, like, looking through baby names and is like, Asdrubal, that's it. Asdrubal, it speaks to me.
Maybe it was in the Spanish names of baby, our Spanish book of baby names, I don't know.
Well, you know how Johnny Peralta got his name, right? I mean, obviously Johnny's a very common name, but it's spelled J-H-O-N-N-Y.
Yes, no, why is that?
Apparently his mother was filling out the birth certificate and, you know, just made a typo, and they stuck with it.
Okay. Well, why not? I mean, it sticks out. It really does stick out if you look at it. I'm sure everybody that looks at it goes, they spelled his name wrong.
Right, Jehani. Everyone calls him Jehani. That goes to the game when they put it up on the scoreboard.
Do they really?
Well, last game I went to, people were like, you know, like it was a brand new thing. I mean, he's been playing here in Detroit for a while, and he's been playing against Detroit for a while, and they were like, oh, Jehani. I was like, yeah, that's him, right?
Yeah, like you've never noticed that before, which they obviously hadn't noticed that before.
Well, and you know who plays right? Well, I guess he doesn't play right field anymore for the Yankees now that they got Ichiro, but Andrew Jones. You ever see how he spells his name?
I have not.
A-N-D-R-U-W.
Okay. I sometimes wonder, what the hell are parents thinking? That's all I have to say. What are they thinking?
No, I'm right there with you.
Wow. Well, I mean, you know, we're talking, I was, you know, thinking on my way in, talking about Oakland, Coco Crisp, why were they doing that? Why did they do that to that? Why did they do it to that kid?
How about if your last name's Bradley and you're like, yeah, Milton
Bradley, right.
Milton could be a good first name for him.
I don't get why. The Coco Crisp one really gets me, because that was obviously deliberate. I mean, it was deliberate. You can't say, well, you know, we were just having fun, didn't realize that it would stick. Well, that's what you called him. Of course it's going to stick.
Or if your last name's Patrick, don't name your kid Pat. Your last name's Erickson, don't name your kid Eric.
Well, people do that. There's no question that people do that. I used to work with a guy in radio years ago that said never trust a guy with two first names for his name.
Like Clark Durant?
No, Durant's not a first name.
Oh, two first names.
Two first names.
I don't trust anyone with two last names.
Well, that I can go with that, too. Yeah, I can go with that. But, yeah, so I don't know that there's any real philosophy. It's kind of like, you know, the Tuesday stats that we were talking about.
Right.
You know, there's no proof. Well, actually, there was proof to this Tuesday stats, wasn't there, so I shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the Tigers did win. We're happy that they did win. And they can continue to win as far as I'm concerned. They are tied for first place as the White Sox beat Minnesota last night, 8-2. So they stay tied for first place. You got to be impressed I know all this stuff this early in the morning.
Yeah, you're on the ball. And I'm is it wrong of me not to expect maybe just a little bit of fight out of the Twins? Like, just a little bit? The White Sox have been struggling as of late. Well, until they apparently
that's
start
not
playing
wrong
Minnesota.
Of you. I just don't know that it's going to happen. But no, it's not wrong of you to want that.
I tell you, I mean, Francisco Liriano is on the trade block. He's been pitching really well. Minnesota needs him to pitch really well, and then he just goes lays an egg against the White Sox. Not last night, but the night before.
Yeah, but we already know that he can pitch, so we don't need him to pitch well. Well, we don't need him to pitch well ever. We're not going to take him.
No, but I needed him to pitch well on Monday.
It would
be nice to beat the White Sox.
And Tigers are done in the trade market, right? There's nothing. You don't anticipate anything else going to happen, right?
You know, it's funny because they say Al Avila. I got to make sure I say his last name right. Avila, because it's his son's Avila, and he's Avila.
Yeah, because that makes sense.
Right. He basically said that if anything, they would go for a right-handed bat. But I have this sinking feeling, and I know you and Tiger fans everywhere aren't going to like it, but I think that they're holding out hope that August rolls around and August Rayburn shows up.
Okay, well, with that said, we're going to be saved by the break. 888-552-3595 if you'd like to join us. 888-552-3595, Tony at thetonyshow.org, on Twitter at Tony Truppiano. We've got a lot to get to today. We're going to get to it all. I promise that we'll get it all in before we get out of here at 9 a.m. I am Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. Good Thursday morning to you. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
I'll pay higher taxes. I look at it this way. I can pay higher taxes and people can have jobs, or I can pay lower taxes and I have my kid's teacher asking me for a loan because she's going to lose her house, which is true.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your early morning commute, we got some accidents. Let's head over to southbound 75, just after East Holly Road, where your left two lanes are blocked and traffic is getting by in the right lane. Northbound 75 at 7 Mile, accident has your left shoulder blocked. 96 eastbound at Wyoming, your right shoulder's blocked. And 275 northbound at Joy Road, accident has your left shoulder blocked. Remember to take your time. There's been a lot of scattered storms and showers, so watch your speeds on your drive. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 86 degrees with thunderstorms scattered throughout the morning and afternoon. Tonight, rainy and 68. Tomorrow, 84 degrees with thunderstorms throughout the afternoon. And it's currently 74 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
This is U.S. Congressman Gary Peters, and I'm running for re-election in the 14th District. Other communities in this new district, like Pontiac, Southfield, and Oak Park, already know my passion for serving. They know my track record of getting things done, like helping President Obama pass the health care bill and save the auto industry. They know that I also helped create nearly 3,500 jobs in our area. And while I may not be from Detroit, the fights I've led in Congress have benefited struggling families across this city. That's why this message is for you, Detroit. I firmly believe that our region will never be successful without a vibrant city of Detroit. If you vote for me, I commit to you that no other candidate will ever outwork me, and that no other community will ever outweigh you. I'm asking for the honor of serving you in the new 14th Congressional District, and more importantly, I'm asking for your vote. I'm Gary Peters, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us.
At Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock. We do want to mention before we go any further that it was announced yesterday, as I'm sure many of you heard, that Diana Lewis will be leaving Channel 7 after 43 glorious years as the anchor. God, the things that that woman has seen sitting in that anchor chair, not to mention the sainthood she should have for having to endure Bill Bonds blowing smoke in her face every day. Do you know how many times, Jeff, I can count that I can count where I literally saw him either hitting his cigarette when he shouldn't have been, he got caught on camera hitting it, or you could see the smoke billowing up from underneath the counter?
That seems like such an odd, like I can't even fathom smoking in a building anymore.
Well, but he used to smoke at the desk, and so you could actually literally see him. I mean, every now and then the camera would pan over to him and he would just be taking the cigarette out of his mouth, or you could, I mean, a lot of times you could see the smoke billowing out from underneath the counter. Or, you know, Diana would be talking and, you know, all of a sudden this plume of smoke would hit her in the face. And she didn't skip a beat, of course. She's the consummate professional. But she will be dearly missed. As I was telling you this morning, I was stunned to read that she's 69 years old. You'd never know it to look at her. She's gorgeous.
Yeah, it is incredible to think. 44 years on the job, and it's weird because I grew up watching Channel 7 with my parents always had the news on. So Don Shane is gone now. Diana Lewis is gone now. I mean, even when Bonds left, it's kind of weird to, you know, to be with someone for so long, I guess, in a way. And now they're all moving on.
You know, Bill Bonds and Rich Fisher were doing a radio show on some low-watt radio station out of Westland or something, some 250-watt station. I wonder if they're still doing that.
I haven't heard anything about it at all.
I mean, the only reason that I was aware of it is Mihalakis was on the show once, and he's the one that told me about it because he sent me a text after he was done, and he said, "Did you know about this station?" And I said, "Well, I know that it's a 250-watt station, which means if we were where we're sitting right now, you would be able to you'd be able to hear the station for about a mile in any direction, and I'm not exaggerating. That's about what 250 watts would get you. But anyway, I just wondered what happened. I don't know who Janelle Hill is, by the way, but you said Dick Vitale and Janelle Hill are giving shout-outs to Diana Lewis this morning. Who's Janelle Hill?
Jameel Hill.
Oh, Jameel. I'm sorry.
She used to write for one of the local papers. Now she's on ESPN the time. She's a Detroiter, so through and through, and a Michigan State Spartan as well.
Oh, very cool.
But yeah, it is cool that they've basically given some love to Diana Lewis.
I believe October November 3rd is her last day. If I recall the article I read yesterday, it said that she would be leaving October 3rd. So we want to wish her luck. And, of course, her daughter is now with Channel 7 as well and has been for, oh, my, quite a while. In fact, you told me this morning that she went to Specs Howard.
Yep, for a little bit. Or actually for... For as long as it takes to graduate Specs Howard.
Which
but the
is
people
a
there
bit,
were.
Right. What is it? A 9-month program?
It's, well, I don't know. She might have done the 12-month, but yeah, they got two. Well, and now it's even different, but when I went, it was either an 8-month or a 12-month.
Gotcha.
And the people there were completely impressed
and
with her.
I'm embarrassed. I just heard her first name escaped me. Diana Lewis's daughter, her first name again is.
Yeah, I knew that you were going
to. I'm sorry. I know it. Just all of a sudden, oh, somebody will let us know. All right. Anyway, somebody will let us know. But our best to Diana Lewis in retirement. Who's
Glenda.
Glenda, there we go. But Diana Lewis said in the article I read yesterday that she's now going to dedicate her life to doing what her husband wants to do after he's allowed her to pursue her dream. All these years. Not a bad way to make a living, by the way. And I'm sure that she was handsomely compensated, as she should have been. She had to sit next to Bill Bonds for all those years. So,
and
God
if you go
her.
To XYZ's website, they actually have video, I think, of the celebration that took place last night and at the studios, which is kind of interesting. They're all clapping and she's dancing, and I was like, that's pretty cool.
Really? Busted a move, is she?
She doesn't look her age.
No, she does not look her age.
And she apparently can still, you know, cut a rug.
Get a load of you. Cut a rug. I say bust a move, you say cut a rug. All right. I would have thought that would have been reversed, but that's okay. Nonetheless, we wish her the best. And yeah, things change. I still miss Eric Smith, who used to be on Channel 7 in the morning. In fact, a lot of the reason I don't watch Channel 7 in the morning anymore is because they unceremoniously dumped Eric Smith. They didn't renew his contract, and I'm no fan of the morning team. Which is why I now watch Channel 4. But I'm just not a big fan of the Channel 7 at all anymore. In fact, I don't watch the evening news. Do you watch the evening news, the 6 o'clock or the 5 o'clock news anymore? I don't.
I get news in the short clips online now.
Yeah, I don't watch.
Who's on the morning? Isn't it Vic Faust and...
Yeah, Vic Faust and Alicia Smith.
Okay, I like Vic. I know Vic from when he covered sports, though.
Okay. Well, that's fine. I just, you know, that's just not my thing. Just not my thing. I just don't have... I like their weather guy. His name escapes me, but I like the weather guy. But it doesn't matter because I watch Channel 4 in the studio now. And it is what it is. So, and then I get a kick out of Fox because our local Fox station is on from like 4 o'clock in the morning till noon. And it's just kind of funny to me that they can be on literally 8 hours with their morning shows 8 hours long. It's ridiculous. I don't get it. I just don't. I really don't get it.
But I saw they highlighted Slow's Barbecue yesterday.
Well, that's because the Travel Channel's got a new show called Sandwich, Best Sandwich in America or something. And it was one of their sandwiches was up against some sandwich out of Wisconsin. That's why.
Oh, okay.
That's why it got so much love yesterday. It was in the paper as well.
I know we got up against the break, but speaking of which, Jim Schwartz, coach of the Lions,
yes,
recently said he finally got out to Miller's in Dearborn to have one of their famous burgers, and it did not let him down. It lived up to the hype. And
really?
And that kind of sparked a little Twitter debate about where the best burger is.
Well, you know, we can throw it out there. Anthony and I are spoiled. We used to own a restaurant in Wyandotte. And, Anthony, am I wrong? Did we not have the best burger you've ever eaten?
Still miss it.
Okay. I mean, it was just the best.
So there's your answer, then. That's what I was wondering.
I mean, it's not available anymore, so that can't be our answer. I make that burger at home, but it's not the same.
So it's a very limited edition.
It is. You know, now it is, yes. It's in your memory only, because we don't make it anymore. But, yeah, it was. I still, to this day, I would put it up against any burger you could get anywhere in the world. In the world, for God's sake. But, yes, if somebody has... a favorite burger, let us hear from you. 888-552-3595. Miller's is okay. I'm not, you know, I've been there. It's only 5 minutes from my house. So, yes, I've eaten at Miller's more than once and had more than one burger there, I assure you, in one sitting, actually. 888-552-3595. You can also email us your favorite burger at Tony at the Tony Show. .org on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we've got some audio to get to and perhaps your calls. Stay with us. This is First Shift. We'll be back right after this.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by NBC.
Checking your early morning commute. We got some accidents. Let's head over to southbound 75 just after East Holly Road, where your left two lanes are blocked and traffic is getting by in the right lane. Northbound 75 at 7 Mile, accident has your left shoulder blocked. 96 eastbound at Wyoming, your right shoulder's blocked. And 275 northbound at Joy Road, accident has your left shoulder blocked. Remember to take your time. There's been a lot of scattered storms and showers, so watch your speeds on your drive. That's your total traffic.
Tomorrow, don't miss the biggest event of the year as the world's greatest athletes come together on the world's biggest stage for the opening ceremony of the London Olympic Games. Tomorrow in prime time, 7:30, 6:30 p.m. Central on NBC.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 86 degrees with thunderstorms scattered throughout the morning and afternoon. Tonight, rainy and 68. Tomorrow, 84 degrees with thunderstorms throughout the afternoon. And it's currently 74 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Trupiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
America's working stiffs are mostly stuck in the muck of depression these days, spinning their economic wheels with low wages that can't even keep pace with inflation. But there are some good news stories about some who are doing well, such as David Simon. Through good old American ingenuity, Dave quintupled his pay last year, pocketing $68,500 an hour. In the previous year, poor Dave was only paid about $13,000 an hour. But apparently, he really applied himself in 2011 and was rewarded with an annual paycheck of $137 million. See, the American dream is still alive for those who believe in it and who happen to be CEOs of corporations with compliant boards of directors that lavish shareholder money on the chief. David is honcho of Simon Properties, a shopping mall operator, and he topped the list of last year's most richly rewarded executives. While typical American workers saw their pay barely inch up by a meager 1% in 2011, a sum totally eaten up and then some by the price increases for gasoline, groceries, rent, and other essentials, the typical corporate chieftain socked away $9.6 million. It would take 244 years on the job for a typical employee to make what those bosses hauled off in 1 year. Especially galling is the sight of such CEOs as Brian Moynihan cashing in. The boss of Bank of America, Moynihan's pay jumped by 600% last year, even as his bank is foundering. BOA's stock value has plummeted by 81%, some 36,000 employees are getting pink slips, and the bailed-out behemoth has become widely despised for ruthlessly and often illegally foreclosing on people's homes. This is Jim Hightower saying, and that's why more and more Americans these days spell BOSS backwards, double S-O-B.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour. The first three emails I receive about the best burger in Metro Detroit are people telling me their backyard, Jeff. So apparently we just need to go traveling to people's barbecues and we will be well fed.
Those are invitations, I'm guessing?
Well, I consider them such, although I guess they didn't come with addresses. So, no, not at this point they're not, but that's all right. We won't invite them to our lamb roast. That's all I have to say.
I knew that was going. That's where that was going.
Hey, just, you know, it is what it is. All right. As y'all know, yesterday, Rainbow Push Detroit took a lot of people to Lansing to deal with the Public Act 4 and state Supreme Court arguments. Those did take place. A decision was not made. But let's listen to a little bit of audio from yesterday's Supreme Court battle and Public Act 4 from WXYZ TV Channel 7.
Well, the state Supreme Court heard arguments about that battle today. It sounded like a technical discussion at times about the history of printing, but it was much more about the future of the state of Michigan. The fight involves voters who want the chance to decide the controversial emergency manager issue at the ballot box.
This case is about the Constitution and the laws that the legislature has enacted.
The group known as Citizens for Fiscal Responsibility told the justices this morning the state law on petitions specifically requires 14-point type to be used in petition headings. Their lawyer told the Supreme Court there should be no exceptions to that law.
The issue is the legislation and what it says. The secondary issue then is readability and or notice to people. But the legislature made the decision as to what the standard would be. I didn't make it. They did.
But the organization known as Stand Up for Democracy spent months collecting more than 203,000 signatures to place the future of Public Act 4, the emergency manager law, before the voters on the November ballot. Their lawyer argued first that their petition used the right type size, but that today's computers may have made the petition print just a little smaller. More importantly, they say, for at least the past decade, the standard of substantial compliance has been in place. In their words, as long as you can read and understand the heading, the emergency manager question should not be stopped by an antiquated law that doesn't take new print technology into account.
The last 15 petitions we have shown do not comply in the same manner that they're arguing. The issue really is whether or not people are able to read a headline on a petition and understand it clearly.
This is about access of the people to the ballot. It's as simple as that.
That was Butch Hollowbell speaking there. He's one of the attorneys and among the observers on both sides that apparently agree that there's no way to determine how long it will take the Supreme Court to decide if the emergency manager law question should be on the November ballot.
Gee, Butch Hollowell there, Jeffrey. Butch Hollowell, there's a name that's familiar. We've been trying to wrestle him on the show for weeks now. So, Butch, yes, if you're listening, you need to call Jeff back, please. That's the update as we know it. Again, no decision, unfortunately, was made yesterday. I don't know when a decision will be made. In fact, my first goal this morning was literally to find out that information and bring it to the show to you today. Unfortunately, I'm giving you what we've got, which is not a whole lot of anything. There was a lot of discussion, and that was about it, unfortunately. All right, we had also discussed yesterday with Stephen Henderson from the Detroit Free Press the fight over Belle Isle and who will control it. Stephen made a compelling case that it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for it to become a state park because needed resources then could be pumped into it. If you've not been to Belle Isle, you really don't get it. If you have been, you do. It's really that simple. This is what, again, Channel 7, WXYZ-TV, had to say about that fight.
Should the state take over managing Belle Isle for the next 99 years? Before that happens, Mayor Dave Bing wants more input into the state's plans.
The only thing that I was aware of that I didn't agree with was the length of the lease. But other than that, the conversations and are still going on, so I'm sure that we will come to an agreement.
The mayor apparently told a group yesterday that he doesn't want the state's plans imposed on the city at an announcement about new jobs in the city this morning. The mayor says negotiations with the state are ongoing.
I think imposing probably is the wrong word. Consulting is a much better word to use, without a doubt. We need to be part of the process from the beginning so that we're at the table as different ideas come up.
People we found enjoying Belle Isle this morning are for the state taking control, even charging an admission fee, if it will help keep the island better maintained.
We love the island. I mean, we just love the island. Longtime Detroiter, we want to see the island kept in the best repair it can be.
If they put into it just to clean it up, if they clean it up, it's more attractive and appealing to people.
The mayor says as long as city leaders are consulted about the future of Belle Isle, he believes this negotiation process about the future of one of Detroit's jewels will continue smoothly. In Detroit, I'm Mary Conway, 7 Action News.
All right, so there we go. I didn't put a poll question up today. I'm going to make that our poll question perhaps tomorrow, but I'll get it up there soon. Are you in favor of the state taking over control of Belle Isle? I have no problem with it as long as we maintain it. It is beautiful. There's no question about it. The Detroit Yacht Club is gorgeous right there on the island. The former zoo used to be beautiful. It's, of course, in disrepair now that they don't use it any longer. Like anything else, you can atrophy. It's not just muscles that atrophy, so does property. Sadly true. Sadly true. Mari, this next story is an interesting one. It's one I wasn't aware of. Jeff brought it to my attention. Apparently, Wayne County Executive Bob Ficano, some years back, hired somebody that was like an ombudsman there to check out fraud and to make sure that county government was functioning in its most ethical way. Guess it didn't work. Listen to this.
Wayne County taxpayers, good news. Bob Ficano says he's hired a dogged investigator to dig into corruption and waste inside his own office. The bad news? Well, she's been there for 3 years, and she missed the biggest scandal in Wayne County's history.
Is your office given the independence that it needs to look into anything?
Ignoring our questions is the woman who critics say didn't ask enough of her own. She's Mary Rose McMillan, Bob Ficano's Inspector General, a position he created 9 years ago to root out county corruption after scandals under his predecessor, Ed McNamara. 5 criminal charges later, how do you think she did? We wanted to ask McMillan about all the questions she didn't, about all the dirty deals that came to light over the last year, about all her colleagues who've been criminally charged, questions that could have caught everything.
How come the current Inspector General didn't look at any of that?
McMillan's been Ficano's chief watchdog for more than 3 years, collecting more than $650,000 in salary and benefits. Ficano's own website says she's authorized to detect and deter fraud, waste, and abuse in county government. So now that Wayne County's drowning in scandal, we want to know what the Inspector General has been inspecting. We got a copy of her most recent report. Turns out she's been paid to look into things that have virtually nothing to do with county government.
During the same year Bob Ficano was giving out all those secret severance deals,
the FBI says this top Ficano aide shook down a vendor for cash and exotic trips. The IG was busy digging into neighborhood disputes.
The same year the FBI says another Ficano aide extorted a different vendor for $50,000 a month. The IG was looking into squatters.
In fact, in her 3 years as Inspector General, McMillan's digging has netted a grand total of 1 conviction from the Wayne County prosecutor that only put someone on probation for a crime that had nothing to do with county government. It was embezzlement at a seafood restaurant. What McMillan has done consistently, write checks to Ficano's campaign, 12 of them since 2003, totaling more than $5,000.
Well, so here's the good news. After putting up a fight, Ficano's office now says they will approve the funding and move the IG's office from their control into the prosecutor's. Ficano's spokeswoman says McMillan's future with the county is unclear, so if you've got a sewage backup, you might want to call someone else.
Okay, that's just... Just another layer. You know, folks, I don't care how many layers there are to an onion, each one still smells the same. That's all I got to say on that. Well, maybe that's not all I got to say on that, but for now, that's all I've got to say on that. I mean, it's just insane. County government is so corrupt. It is, in Wayne County anyway. I'm not going to certainly, Oakland County's got their own kind of weird government. That's why Brooks Patterson needs to go. But Bob Vicano really has issues. And I don't, there was an article in Sunday's paper about whether or not he'll run for re-election, what's happening with his bank accounts. I've been told privately, and I can't tell you who I have this conversation with, but I've been told privately that he has over $1 million in the bank, and that if he does choose to run over 2 years from now, if he does choose to run for re-election, he wouldn't need to really raise any money to do it, and he could do it, and it could be his last time, and then he could leave his way, and that people have short memories, and people love Bob Vicano, and this is politics after all. And for whatever reason, we don't seem to like to hold our politicians accountable here in Michigan. And I mean in Michigan. Look at what's happening with Jace Bulger right now. Now, here the Republican Speaker of the House committed fraud, admitted to it, said he didn't lie, he was just evasive. We could go on and on and on, but the bottom line is that this is a nonpartisan issue. If you are a politician in Michigan, you have a license to steal, it seems. What a shame that is. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll turn our attention more to a national spotlight. And, of course, the ongoing, and Jeff and I had an interesting conversation about this yesterday afternoon on the phone, the ongoing debate over what did the president mean when he said what he said and what Fox News said he said. And, well, it's not really that confusing anymore, especially after what Fox News did yesterday with those two little girls. How embarrassing is that? And we'll come back and talk about that and more. This is First Shift. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. We'll be back.
With Tony. I've always thought it as something that's still holding the country back. You choose to love whoever you love. It's no different than discriminating against blacks. It's discrimination, plain and simple.
On 1310 WDTW.
I think it's the right thing to do, so whether it costs them votes or not, it's really not about votes, it's about people.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Right, well, yeah, welcome back indeed. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Let's get to a little bit more audio here before we move on to the next hour of the program. We've got a lot to get to yet as well. Interestingly, as I was saying before the break, Jeff and I were talking about this whole, you know, government helped everybody and gives you the hand up and Republicans' response to it and Fox News' bastardization of the quote to begin with. Anyway, Jon Stewart's having a little bit of fun with this, but and always, and that's what I love about Jon Stewart, he may be making fun, but he's always making a profoundly truthful point. Let's listen to the first of two.
There are absolutely differences in economic policy between you and the president that you could use to have a substantive discussion about our economy that might even be productive for our future well-being. But that discussion is a matter of degrees, not a matter of fundamental, diametrically opposed worldviews. Here's how I know. Mr. President and Mr. Romney argue it out.
If you were successful, somebody along the line gave you some help.
I know that you recognize a lot of people helped you in a business.
There was a great teacher somewhere in your life.
Your school teachers.
Government research created the internet, so then all the companies could make money off the internet.
There are a lot of people in government who help us and allow us to have an economy that works.
Somebody invested in roads and bridges.
People to build roads.
If you got a business,
you really couldn't have a business if you didn't have those things.
You didn't build that.
Take that, Mr. President.
Okay, so there we go. I mean, you know, they're in their own words, if you will. While Jon Stewart goes on to show the hypocrisy of Fox News for not using, in context, the statement, you didn't build that. Really, truly listen to this carefully.
The president has been out there. He's now got a political ad that is up in a number of the swing states where he says, you know, I've been taken out of context. Don't believe what Mitt Romney's saying. All right. Here's what the president said that got him into trouble with the Republicans.
All right. Good on you, Steve Ducey. I've made fun of you in the past as being a bit of a tool or foppish throw pillow of misinformation. Disingenuous Muppet-shaped propaganda tube. My apologies. Now you're going to play the unedited, in-context version, showing the line immediately before the you didn't build that line, the one about the roads and bridges, so thank you.
Here's what the president said that got him into trouble with the Republicans.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hard-working people out there. If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
What was the middle part about the bridges and the roads? You didn't even flash through it. You just had Obama dissolve into dust like a bad CGI vampire. That's not context. That's just different. No context.
Okay, so, you know, pointing out the obvious. And if I have to, and again, if I have to point it out to you, then you just don't get it. Jeff, were you not a little bit stunned yesterday by the callers, the ones that were siding with the conservatives, the Fox News folks, that they're still holding on to this idea that the president said something that he didn't say? And I want to go back to one of the callers said, listen to the way the president says it. Okay. How many times have we listened to just their bastardized version? He doesn't say anything wrong.
No, well, he does if you cut out some of the words, but like you said, you can do that with anyone's speech. If they say, I am not a crook, right? And then you cut out the word not, suddenly you've changed their entire speech. So if you take out portions of a speech...
That would definitely do it.
Right. If you take out portions of a speech, you can make them say almost anything you want to hear them say.
No, it continues to just blow my mind that people are so desperate to make this president look bad that they are willing to go to that extent... And then to elevate it to the level of a presidential campaign. And by the way, everywhere Mitt Romney is going, he was in Columbus, Ohio yesterday, and a restaurant owner said, you know, hey, Governor, I don't know how to tell you this, but without government, I wouldn't be where I'm at. You know, as government builds roads and infrastructure, those people that work on those projects eat in my restaurants. If government wasn't creating these projects, I wouldn't make the money that I make. I mean, I need this investment to happen. Mitt Romney doesn't know how to respond to that, Jeff. He just doesn't know how to respond to it, because the reality is that it's true. Without government, we wouldn't build roads. You know, we wouldn't put up electrical infrastructure.
Well, and we had callers yesterday that said, well, but government needs business. Well, of course, that's exactly what Obama was saying in his speech, is that we're all in this together.
Imagine that. We're all in this together, and that one hand washes the other, Jeff. Have you ever tried to just wash one hand by itself? Can't happen. You can't wash one hand, folks. You just can't do it. Oh, sure, you might be able to get soap on it. You'll certainly be able to get water on it, but you won't be able to wash it. Maybe you'll wash it off, but not wash it. I'm just saying, you know, why is this so hard for people to comprehend? No, it's not. It's that you want this president to be so wrong, so often, so boldly, that you're willing to buy hook, line, and sinker lies that absolutely have nothing to do with reality. All right. We don't have time for anything more in this hour anyway, so we'll let it go for now. In the next hour, Charlie Parrish with the American Association of University Professors at Wayne State University. Wayne State's trying to change the rules of their collective bargaining agreement, and it's just wrong. What they're attempting to do under the guise of even one bad professor gives us a black eye. So let's stop it before it even begins. Let's change all the rules. Well, that sounds okay until you understand what the rules are. So we'll talk about that. Susan Demas with the Mirrors News Service and MLive.com will be with us. There's some breaking news as of yesterday, which Mark Brewer is going to share with us as well a little later on in the show. But we've got a lot of information to get to. All right, we'll take a quick break here. If we have time, I've had a few more suggestions as to the best burger in Metro Detroit. If you want to email that to me, feel free to do that. Tony@thetonyshow.org. Somebody writes and asks, where is Bill Bonds today? I just don't know. I know he's not here, but that's all I know. So... that'll have to do it for now. We'll take the break for the top of the hour. First Shift continues after this break.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic and the accidents are starting to pile up. Let's head over to 94 eastbound at 75 where your left lane is blocked. Northbound 275 at Joy Road, your left shoulder's blocked. Northbound 75 at 7 Mile, your left shoulder's blocked. And 96 eastbound at Wyoming, your right shoulder's blocked there. Remember to take your time. You got wet pavement on your drive, so please use some caution. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 86 degrees with thunderstorms scattered throughout the morning and afternoon. Tonight, rainy and 68. Tomorrow, 84 degrees with thunderstorms throughout the afternoon, and it's currently 74 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
NBC News Radio, I'm Dirk Benn. Congress talking taxes again, but a Senate-passed measure that would end Bush-era tax cuts for the wealthy is destined for a dead end in the Republican House, although President Obama isn't giving up on the measure.
We didn't get a lot of Republican votes, but that's okay. They've got time. We passed it through the Senate. Now it's the time for the House to do the same.
Unless Congress acts, all the Bush-era tax cuts are set to expire at the end of the year. NBC News has learned that the suspect in the Colorado movie massacre may have tipped his hand sending a package to a faculty member at the University of Colorado that contained a notebook with drawings and descriptions of an attack. The package was found unopened on Monday. And are kids slimming down? Fat chance. In fact, a new study says childhood obesity rates are skyrocketing and that children who are overweight or obese run a higher risk of cardiovascular disease even in their preteen years. This is NBC News Radio. Americans are having fewer babies. Blame it in part on the sagging economy. The national birth rate is its lowest in 25 years, with young couples still hesitant to jump into parenthood. Stats show the average number of births per woman is down 12%, lowest since 1987. Wall Street back on the plus side after a three-day slide. Stock futures are higher this morning. A warning to Olympic athletes, careful what you tweet. The Greek team has expelled an athlete for tweeting a racist joke, as NBC's Kevin Tibbles reports.
The IOC has issued a code of conduct. Postings, blogs, and tweets should be dignified and in good taste and not contain vulgar or obscene words or images.
And a cover-up at the Olympics? U.S. Beach Volleyball champs Misty May Traynor and Kerry Walsh say they'll continue to compete in their bikinis despite a new rule that gives female players the okay to play in shorts and T-shirts. I'm Dirk Van, NBC News Radio.
This is Charles Osgood. Need help finding the right insurance coverage? With Auto Owners Insurance, every policy comes with a local agent who lives and works in your own community, providing you with all your insurance answers. When it comes to insurance, keep it simple. Talk with a real agent about Auto Owners Insurance. Rank highest in customer satisfaction with auto insurance claims experience 4 years in a row, says J.D. Power and Associates. For award information, visit jdpower.com. For your life, home, car, and business insurance needs, visit autoowners.com. Auto Owners, the no problem people.
Micro talks with a real Ford service advisor.
Say hi to Fiona. Why would I bring my vehicle here for service?
When you bring your vehicle to a Ford dealership, you know that your vehicle's being worked on by technicians who work on Fords all day long.
Get a high-performance Motorcraft Tested Tough Plus or Tested Tough Max battery with a $25 mail-in rebate.
So when you bring your vehicle to a Ford dealership for service, we can very likely see you. Fiona.
First phase of the service drive.
See participating Ford dealer for rebate details or visit FordOwner.com through 83112.
Mom and Dad, here's another reason to follow what your kids are doing on the Internet, especially if they have a credit card in hand. Wall Street Journal says eBay is considering a move to allow people under age 18 to set up accounts and buy things on the site, such as vintage T-shirts, jewelry, school supplies. One thing your kids are not doing online as much as some would like, playing Farmville and other games from Zynga. The Facebook game maker is reporting a surprisingly big loss for last quarter, almost $23 million, That's bad news for Zynga, whose stock lost more than 40% after the news, but also bad news for Facebook, which gets 15% of its revenue from its relationship with Zynga. After the closing bell on Wall Street today, we get the first earnings report from Facebook as a publicly traded company. Stock futures have turned positive this hour. They were lower an hour ago. Right now, S&P futures positive by 7, NASDAQ futures up 10, Dow futures rising 59. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Business owners, how would you like to try a lead generation tool that is effective at finding targeted new prospects for free? Hoovers makes it easy to find the right business leads fast. They're so sure this technology can rev up your sales. They're offering you 50 free leads plus a 24-hour free trial. Log on now to hooversfree.com or call 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. Don't miss out. Go to hooversfree.com. That's hooversfree.com.
Hiya, Fred.
Hello, Beth.
You seen Eddie?
Yeah, he's in my workshop picking out tools to borrow.
Well, tell him I took the car to the Parts Plus Car Care Center for service.
So he'll be carless? Well, I hope he doesn't want me to run him around doing errands.
Oh, don't worry about that. I've got him rebuilding the handrail on the back step.
Oh, there goes my good saw.
He'll be busy with that all afternoon. And besides, Parts Plus won't keep me long. They never do.
Now hurry back.
For the location nearest you, go to PartsPlus.com.
With an industry-leading distribution network, Grainger can save you tons of downtime by offering over 900,000 products, many ready to ship right when you need them. In fact, 99% of items ordered ship same day. So fast, the International Acronym Committee is considering changing ASAP to ASAG, or as soon as Grainger. At least they would be considering it if there were such a committee. To help keep your business running efficiently, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Neither the teeming rains of India, nor the snows of Kilimanjaro, nor the glare of the paparazzi at a Hollywood opening can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
2012 creates the promise of change.
But what kind of change? And what say do you have in that change?
2012 carries the promise of hope.
But is hope enough to usher change?
2012 can deliver us from the horror of the past.
But can you and will you commit to making the effort to move beyond words to action?
First Shift is ready to lead if you are ready to join us.
And if you are ready, then strap in.
Because from this point forward,
we will accept nothing but the path to victory.
And that path starts here.
And now.
First Shift.
With Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. It is, 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Thursday, July 26th. Not funny at all. I got word late in the day yesterday that the Michigan Senate Judiciary Committee will be taking up the anti-choice, anti-women bills that the House has already passed, HB 5711, today. The hearing will take place at 10 a.m. in room 110 of the Farnham Building at 125 West Allegan in Lansing at the state capitol. If you are interested in going, show up. Judiciary Chairman Rick Jones, a Republican from Grand Ledge, has scheduled the hearing for today. Jones told Mirrors News Service earlier this month that he intended to take up HB 5711, sponsored by State Rep. Bruce Rendon of Lake City, which ignited controversy when it passed the House. You'll remember the Vagina Gate controversy, which shouldn't have been a controversy at all. The bill requires abortion patients to be screened for coercion, and it's just ridiculous. It is ridiculous. Of course, Barb Byram got censured, as did Rep. Lisa Brown, who I saw on Saturday, who is as strong and beautiful as she's ever been. Representative Lisa Brown and certainly Representative Byram, but Representative Brown is just one of those amazing people. If she ends up getting elected Oakland County Clerk, they're going to be the luckiest people in the world in Oakland County. Because they're not just going to get somebody that certainly gets the job, but she is remarkably intelligent. And so they will be very fortunate. Anyway, we're going to go open lines for a while. So if you've got something on your mind, feel free to join us. I'd like to talk about the election, the presidential election. 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. Yesterday, we had Bernie Porn on from Epic MRA, who said that he was very concerned with the way the numbers looked here in Michigan in the presidential race. Well, we got numbers not from Epic MRA, from another polling company, a little later on in the day yesterday that showed that Barack Obama is leading Mitt Romney in the state of Michigan by 13 percentage points, which is a pretty significant lead. So, yes, some of you are paying attention. Yes, some of you sent me an email that said, but your guest was wrong. He was wrong. Well, no, he wasn't wrong based on their numbers. And not all polls are created equal, folks. So just chill a minute. Plus, it's too far out for us to take a look at polls and say, well, that's exactly what I was saying. Well, it's of course what's going to happen. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, it's too early. But with that said, what does this poll tell us this far out? Well, it tells us the president's message is getting to the people. We know that President Obama is also leading in Ohio by 9 points. Ohio is, again, considered a swing state. I don't know why Michigan isn't being taken a little more seriously than it is, but it isn't. And I don't quite understand why that is. But it's not for me to say. Because even if it was, not everybody listens to me. But I'm okay with that. So here we are. We're going on the end of July. So we've got August, September, October, basically 90 days. We'll call it 95 days or more. Now let's call it 100 days even before the election in November. Now I'm talking about the presidential. There's a lot of stuff coming up on August 7th that requires a very different conversation. But for the purposes of our discussion today, we're talking about the general. Do you believe that Barack Obama has the right message in place, has the right team in place, has the right strategy in place to win re-election around the country? Around the country, not just in the state of Michigan, around the country. Do you believe that he has the mettle to do this? 888-552-3595. Now, I think he's got the messaging in place. I think that that's absolutely true. I think he's got the right team in place. I don't think that's an issue. Certainly, they continue to be profoundly great with social media. They're really good with, again, with message. I'm very pleased, and I'm very involved in the receiving end of that message because I obviously belong to all of the different lists that send out Obama for America stuff or Obama Biden stuff. By the way, the vice president is going to be in Detroit this weekend at the American Federation of Teachers conference giving, I believe it's the keynote address. Should be amazing. You'll recall that he spoke actually, I believe it was yesterday, to the firefighters in Washington, D.C. He also spoke at the Teamsters conference some months back. Our own Kevin Moore with Teamsters Local 299 had the good fortune of going to the vice president's residence not long ago when he was in Washington, D.C., and had dinner and cocktails there. Excuse us, Mr. President. La-ti-ta. But, you know, this is the way these things are done. Joe Biden's one smart cookie. People have, I think, a real interesting perception, or a misconception, I should say, about Joe Biden. He's much smarter than people give him credit for. A lot of people think that he's gaffing his life away, which is just so not true. I think he's very strategic. Oh, sure, we've all made gaffes. I do it probably on a daily basis. That's not the point. In fact, I just did it. But that's not the point. The point is, when he does something strategically, and he does a lot of things strategically, I'm impressed. I'm ultimately impressed with just how smart this guy is. There was some discussion, maybe you remember it, that the president was going to replace Joe Biden with Senator and current Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, but I think that that would have been a huge mistake. Just to be honest with you, not that I don't like Hillary Clinton. I like her a lot. I just don't know that that would have been the smart thing to do. When they announced Joe Biden was going to be the vice presidential candidate, I was a pretty happy guy. I really was. I was a pretty happy guy. So I think ultimately he helps the president win re-election. That's not an issue. And then we again had another talk yesterday about the reality, the reality of, you know, can Barack Obama be reelected, which is the question I'm throwing out to you right now. 888-552-3595. I mean, that's the question I'm throwing out to you. I believe that he can, but I think it's going to take a lot more work than it did the first time around. Why? Because I think the right has been very good. They've been surgically removing logic from the American mind. Just my thought. Let's go to the phones and welcome Larry and LaPierre to First Shift. Larry, pleasure to have you on the air this morning. What's on your mind?
Morning, Tony.
Morning.
Thanks again for doing the work that you do. Just quick note, you know, I think about this all the time because I work for the USU. But the point I'm making is that those folks that worked at either General Motors or Chrysler, be them either hourly or salary, if they were to contemplate voting for anybody but Barack Obama, it's just absolutely blows my mind. Because Mitt is in the process and in the conversation, bringing about and talking about let them go bankrupt. Let's take the good parts, get rid of the bad parts. And one of the bad parts was their pension. If we would have did it Mitt's way, we would have a lot of folks that would have been had their pension turned over to the Pension Guarantee Corps. That being the case, I think basically because of the size of General Motors and Chrysler and the amount of retirees that are out there, we could have probably tipped the scales on that institution and probably broke its back.
Well,
folks out there with nothing.
Yeah, and Larry, I mean, the number that I remember reading was that people that had pensions would have gotten 30 cents on the dollar. 30 cents on the dollar.
If that much, I think.
Yeah, if that much. And so you're right. I can't imagine, especially somebody that works in a blue-collar job, and thank you for your call, or a auto job or a manufacturing job, how any of them could not vote for Barack Obama is beyond me. Now, listen, you might not 100% agree with the president's politics or policies, but when it comes to protecting American blue-collar middle-class jobs, nobody has done more for the middle class than this president has. And so to think that Mitt Romney would somehow be the better guy at this point, it offends me in about 4,000 different ways, because it just wouldn't be true. And how anybody could think that Mitt Romney would be better for the middle class than Barack Obama it just confounds me. But more importantly, and I think you need to keep this in mind, Mitt Romney would have seen us not only go bankrupt. We don't, unemployment in the state of Michigan right now, I believe, is at 8.6%. We'd be at about 14 or 16% now had we had done it Mitt Romney's way. Willard, stay away from us, please. Let's take a quick break. Feel free to call us. 888-552-3595. Larry, thanks for the call. We'll take the break here. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your roadways, heading over to 94 eastbound at the Lodge Freeway. That earlier accident has been cleared, but you still got stop-and-go traffic from Livernois. Now in Fowlerville, North Nicholson Road in both directions at Van Buren, that's blocked due to fallen power cables. And Brown Road in both directions between Joslyn and Giddings Road, all lanes are closed for emergency water main repairs, so please avoid that area. They're hoping to have that reopened by this Saturday. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 86 degrees with thunderstorms scattered throughout the morning and afternoon. Tonight, rainy and 68. Tomorrow, 84 degrees with thunderstorms throughout the afternoon. And it's currently 74 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
This is U.S. Congressman Gary Peters, and I'm running for re-election in the 14th District. Other communities in this new district, like Pontiac, Southfield, and Oak Park, already know my passion for serving. They know my track record of getting things done, like helping President Obama pass the health care bill and save the auto industry. They know that I also helped create nearly 3,500 jobs in our area. And while I may not be from Detroit, the fights I've led in Congress have benefited struggling families across this city. That's why this message is for you, Detroit. I firmly believe that our region will never be successful without a vibrant city of Detroit. If you vote for me, I commit to you that no other candidate will ever outwork me, and that no other community will ever outweigh you. I'm asking for the honor of serving you in the new 14th Congressional District, and more importantly, I'm asking for your vote. I'm Gary Peters, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDTW.
All right, welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour, Mitt Romney versus Barack Obama. To me, it's a no-brainer, but I have one. That's why I would suggest those that don't have one are going to have a little tougher time with this. And we do know, and with all due respect, and I do mean that, with all due respect to the electorate, folks, you're not always the brightest people in the on the tree. It's just the truth. All right, let's go to the phones. 888-552-3595. Bob in Royal Oak joins us now. Bob, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony, first-time caller. You had mentioned about if this is the right team, if we thought this was the right team. I had thought it was the right team. And I'll tell you what changed my mind a little bit was, I know this, a relative's, boyfriend works for the auto industry. He was in his 50s and he had mentioned, you know, to my relative, voiced his opinion that, hey, you know, don't vote for Barack Obama and all this. And I confronted him about it when I found out about it the day I was over their place. And I asked him, I said, who do you think, saved your job there? Well, he didn't want to talk about it. But here's the thing. What I'm getting at is here's a union worker right over there off of Van Dyke there, union worker, auto plant, convinced my relative, apparently, also not to vote for Barack Obama, and they do not have enough information coming from, President Barack Obama's team. They're getting bombarded with all this other stuff, so that's where I have, maybe this isn't the right team, or they're just not getting their message out strong enough.
Thank you for your call, Bob. I respect that. First of all, I don't think that we in July should be worrying a whole lot about the message for November. Now, you may be surprised by this, but and a lot of people would. We may think that we've got our minds made up, and people are going to say, well, I know exactly who I'm going to vote for. Now, those of us that are hardcore D's and hardcore R's do have our minds made up, but there are people that are soft or leaning this or soft or leaning that, that don't have their minds made up. Even if they think they do, they don't necessarily. And that's why you're going to see an onslaught of message, of information, Bob, moving forward. So although you feel like they're not getting the message out right now, trust me, that will change. There's going to be a huge transition from primary to general election. I assure you that those that work in the political action committees and in other parts of the political arena will be getting those messages out. So whether it's your brother-in-law, your cousin, your friend, your uncle, your dad, your mom, I don't care who it is, if they're in the workplace and they're not getting the message, they will be getting the message loud and clear from the Democrats when the time is right. Why waste your time and money now when it's not even about now? It's about the primary, and there is no primary for the Democrats, especially at the presidential level. 888-552-3595 again is the number. My buddy Mike in Clawson joins us now. Mike, good morning to you.
Morning, Tony.
How are you, my friend?
Okay, doing better. I think this election in November is going to hinge on two factors. One, the woman's vote, and two, just how severe this voter suppression is really amounts to.
Well, we know in some parts of the country the voter suppression is huge. Pennsylvania is now one of those states. We know Florida is one of those states. We know Ohio potentially, Indiana potentially, Wisconsin potentially. So, yes, you're right. I agree with you. I think women are going to have a huge, huge impact on who is elected our next president. And if they're not paying attention, it's kind of like auto workers, Mike. If they're not paying attention, then this could cost us an election. So they have to make sure they're paying attention. That's, of course, part of that challenge is my job. Hey, Mike, since I got you here, would you mind sharing with this audience the email you sent me yesterday about the package that you're having delivered from UPS via the United States Postal Service?
Okay.
I got the biggest kick out of that.
It's nothing really new as far as the post office goes, but not only UPS, but FedEx also often uses the post office as the last point of delivery. And I just found it kind of ironic that I get a notice I bought something from a company online, and they notified me on a tracking that UPS would be delivering the package to the post office, and the post office would be delivering it to me. And I just thought, you know, it was so ironic that people don't realize just how important the post office is, and I certainly hope that that enough of the public is made aware of that and it comes to the union's defense.
Absolutely. Well, I got a kick out of that email, and in fact, I printed it off and was gonna talk about it later on. So since you called, I thought I'd let you do it. Mike, as always, appreciate your friendship and your point of view. Thanks for your call. We just want to try to get one more in before we've got to take the bottom of the hour break here. And Marty in Westland joins us now. Marty, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to say a couple of things, and if you just give me a second to explain one thing. But first off, both parties splice and dice sound bites all day long.
And Fox is no different than MSNBC. Just both of the reverse of the.
And
other.
Of course, you don't have an example. You don't have an example of MSNBC doing it. You're just making a blanketed, generalized statement, Marty.
No, I watch MSNBC.
Okay, but you're.
That's not what I wanted to.
You brought it up because it's not what you wanted to talk about, Marty. You drive me nuts. Go ahead. What do you want
to
talk about?
Okay, with your intelligence, sir, I want you just to explain, when I hear the government talking about Social Security and they're worried about it, I just want to explain something. My buddy, he was 20 years old and works up in Ohio, up in Clark County. He's the head of the city council out over there at 20 years old. So he was kind of explaining to me their program for their Social Security, which at 20 years old, he has 5 years left on his term when he is 25. And this goes for all government officials. He can retire at 25, get 75% of all of his salary, included with health care benefits, and live on the fruit of the land.
But that's a city.
Say,
that's a city program. That has nothing to do with the federal government.
No. All the states run under the same program for
BS,
their government.
BS. Lie. Marty, not one word that came out of your mouth about that is the truth. Not one freaking word. Do not call my office and leave a 10-minute voicemail. Don't want to hear it. This is not a homogenized statewide program. Every state, every community has their own set of rules, Marty. And if you don't know that, shame on you, you Tea Party dragon. Seriously, shame on you to get on this show and to tell a lie like that. That at 25 years old, he'll be able to retire with 75% of his pay. What the hell are you thinking? How stupid do you think any of us are? There isn't a Republican or Democrat with half a brain that agrees with what you just said. Sweet Jesus. Susan Demas, who we will look forward to talking to. She actually has a whole brain. On the other side, stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by your Motor City Mini Dealer.
Checking your roadways, heading over to 94 eastbound at the Lodge Freeway. That earlier accident has been cleared, but you still got stop-and-go traffic from Livernois. Now in Fowlerville, North Nicholson Road in both directions at Van Buren, that's blocked due to fallen power cables. And Brown Road in both directions between Joslyn and Giddings Road. All lanes are closed for emergency water main repairs, so please avoid that area. They're hoping to have that reopened by this Saturday. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
The Mini Cooper Hardtop gets 37 miles per gallon. That's 37, commute-changing, rarely having to fill your tank miles per gallon. Get the $0 to motor lease with zero money down and $249 per month. Visit MotorCityMini.com for details.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 86 degrees with thunderstorms scattered throughout the morning and afternoon. Tonight, rainy and 68. Tomorrow, 84 degrees with thunderstorms throughout the afternoon. And it's currently 74 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Teamsters President Jim Hoffa says the presidential election question this year is the age-old labor question, which side are you on? Hoffa says corporations and the rich are waging a class war against workers, and workers must fight back.
It makes me mad that the rich are really waging a war against the poor, and the rich are these corporations, yet they're basically salivating to go after the workers. Boeing's doing the same thing. Boeing's making record amount of money. Boeing gets all kinds of contracts from the federal government. And yet, first thing they do, they go to work against their workers and try and move work from a union plant, you know, to a right-to-work plant that's not union. So this is a war that we see at Boeing, we see it at General Electric, we see it at Whirlpool. Unbelievable what they're doing. Moving plants left and right out of this country, moving to Mexico. They bought Maytag in Newton, Iowa for one reason. Shut it down. And 3,000 people lost their jobs there.
The Teamsters are joining AFL-CIO unions for a mass Workers Stand for America rally August 11th in Philadelphia.
We're going to have many Teamster trucks. We've organized and alerted many of our people to be there. We're going to have over 1,000 Teamsters there. So we're very, very excited about it. I understand the president's going to participate in it, and there's going to be a lot of good things going on there. So I'm very excited about that. We need more of that type of thing.
After announcing a global boycott of the Hyatt hotel chain for allegedly abusing employees, Hyatt Unite Here workers tried to hand-deliver unfair labor practices charge documents to Hyatt. Jesse Russell reports.
Pressure mounted on Hyatt when workers for the Baltimore Hyatt Regency attempted to deliver a copy of unfair labor practice charges being filed with the National Labor Relations Board. According to the Baltimore Brew, the request, made by Baltimore City Councilwoman Mary Pat Clark, was rejected by management at the hotel. She was told to mail the documents. The workers allege in the charges that the company has been outsourcing jobs and intimidating employees that are attempting to organize the hotel. The Baltimore action was part of a week of demonstrations across the country, organized in part by Unite Here. The demonstrations have been accompanied by a call for a worldwide boycott against the Hyatt chain, attempting to make the company address concerns over workplace safety.
The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office says the Affordable Care Act health care reform upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court will shrink the national budget deficit over the next decade. The CBO report says that the health care reform will lower the deficit by $84 billion. Republicans attacking the health care reform law have insisted it will increase the deficit by trillions of dollars, but the Congressional Budget Office report shows that that is not true.
You've been listening to WIND, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with a Tony Triano.
35 minutes after 7 o'clock, man. Deep breaths. We really do. This early in the morning, if you folks wonder why I get up as early as I do, if you understood the stuff we dealt with before 9 a.m., remember that old commercial for the Army or the military? You say we do more before 9 a.m. than most people do all day long. Oh, my God, in radio, there could be nothing truer, I tell you. All right, we're going to turn our attention now to our next guest. It really is very interesting doing what we do. So give me an intro, guys, and we'll get this thing going. Do we have an intro? Somebody cue the Jeopardy theme. I'm just kind of waiting.
If you have been looking for real journalism as First Shift has,
then it will come as no surprise
that when we discovered Susan Dimas, First Shift made an extraordinary effort to make her one of our regular guests.
And as you will hear in a moment,
the main thing Susan cares about is truth and fortifying her profession as a journalist.
And toward that end,
First Shift hit the jackpot
as we welcome MERS and MLive journalist Susan Dimas.
And we do welcome Susan back after a couple weeks respite, and I hope that she got some rest as she was away. We welcome her back to First Shift. Susan, it's a pleasure to have you back.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I hope you had a nice time while you were away. And I've got to ask, I mean, kind of in a bizarro world, I don't know that much has changed since you left news-wise. It seems like the more things change, the more they stayed the same.
Things might have gotten a little weirder, but yeah, not too much difference. Got to agree with you.
Okay, well, okay, let's keep it in the weirder category. I'm looking at a headline that says MLive poll: more than 95% of readers reject Bolger's evasive excuse, thinks he lied. Now, listen, we know that's not a scientific poll, and that's all well and good, but it does say something indicative about the mindset of voters as we look to Speaker Jace Bolger and wonder about his future in politics, Susan Dimas. Yeah, I think people are pretty much seeing it for what it is. He can call it what he wants, but a lie is a lie at the end of the day.
That's an online poll. And so, you know, frankly, I don't put a lot of stock in it. I should note that Jace Bolger is in a seat that has a 66% Republican base. So I think he'll be returned to the legislature. As for his political future, his colleagues have indicated that they support him and they're not about to bounce him, which is very interesting. But, you know, I have heard from many people that he had aspirations for Congress. And I think those are probably in jeopardy.
Well, you know, and I don't disagree. I don't think that he won't be. We had Bernie Porn on from Epic MRA yesterday, and And he certainly is concurring with what you and I are saying, although he thinks the speaker may have a much more interesting battle on his hands than he would have in a normal election cycle. There's nothing normal about this one. Of course, and Bernie again reaffirmed that he thought, as you have said on this very program, that the Republicans would retain the majority in the House. If somehow they don't, then minority leader Bulger may have a different title moving forward, but we're assuming a whole lot that we probably shouldn't assume at this point.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know how the election is going to turn out. I do think that this will probably be a factor. I mean, it certainly will be a factor in the 76th House district that he meddled in, the seat being held by Roy Schmidt. But, you know, if the Republicans do lose the majority, then I think, you know, Republicans might reevaluate their steadfast support, because there's nothing like losing to make people develop a conscience.
What did you make of Speaker Jace Bulger's, I guess it's an apology. I have trouble kind of calling it that. But what did you make of his apology, Susan Demas?
Yeah, you know, I was just rereading that last night because I was writing a column. And, you know, I found it fascinating the way he, his introduction, where he took credit for the unemployment rate, you know, drastically going down. And he took a lot of pot shots at Democrats in his apology. And so, you know, that seems to be pretty typical of Jace Bulger, that, you know, he, once he makes a decision, he really thinks he's right and he sticks to it. And, you know, in that apology, he still seemed to be searching for some, you know, some other folks to take the blame.
Well, which is very odd. You know, at this point, I'm sure you've seen all the text. I mean, you've seen all the printed material. You've seen Bill Forsyth's report. You know, there's been, of course, a lot of discussion on this show. We've talked with Chairman Mark Brewer and others about the reality. Diane Slavin, State Rep. Diane Slavin, is actually having a press release or a press conference today to talk about introducing some ethics legislation that would address what happened between the Speaker and Representative Roy Schmidt. All that being said, and again, knowing what we know now, reading what we've read, it's clear that there was a pattern of behavior, and it may not be illegal, but it's certainly, in my opinion, this is, of course, my opinion because it's not legal, but it is unethical. I think it says a lot about, you know, how long they've been planning this. It says a lot about what their intent was. When you're offering, although the speaker didn't do this, but the representative did, when you're offering cash to somebody to do something that isn't on the up and up, and it's not illegal, it certainly is, at the very least, immoral. I don't know, Susan, this to me, there are not a lot of gray areas here.
Yeah, I mean, the only gray area is that there are huge loopholes in Michigan law that make all of this okay. And, you know, I would feel, I think it's a pretty big stretch for anyone to defend Jace Bulger's actions by saying, well, you know, it's not illegal, because, you know, nobody thinks elections should function this way. And hopefully there will be some legislation to address this. Jace Bulger came out with his own proposal yesterday, and I would assume that he's trying to clean up the mess and will take action on it. But I've been around for a while, and I haven't seen anything like this personally.
Yep, I hear you. Let's go to the phones, and then I want to ask you about the Secretary of State's culpability in some of this, or at least where she is or isn't coming down, including the governor and the lieutenant governor. But let's welcome Tom in Detroit to the program. Tom, appreciate you giving us a call this morning. You're on the air with Susan Demas.
Yeah, good morning, Tony. How are you?
Good
morning,
thank you.
Ms. Demas. You know, Tony, when I read that supposedly apology, I'm going like, you don't start out apologizing by talking about, as Ms. Demas pointed out, about him talking about, you know, they cut the unemployment rate or whatever, you know, just, you know, all of this stuff that's happened since, you know, since Snyder's been in office. And I, I, personally, I thought he should have gotten more than a slap on the wrist. And he didn't even get slapped on the wrist. They were saying it's not, you know, they didn't violate any law. I mean, come on, let's go ahead and get real here. But, you know, I think that the Bulger should be censured, cited, or, you know, however you want to put it. But, I mean, this man here, he was, you know, he was dabbling on the edge of violating the doggone law, and he should be nailed for it.
All right. Well, Tom, I appreciate your comments. Susan, I'll let you comment on what Tom, and Tom, thanks for your call. I'll let you comment
okay,
on what Tom had to say. You bet.
Yeah, you know, a lot of what Tom said was actually in a pretty scathing Detroit News editorial last week. And so there are some, you know, folks on the right that have been holding him accountable, just not really within his own caucus.
Yeah, well, that has really been the interesting thing. You know, I read on, and, you know, Mirrors ran a story last week that the caucus had, in large part, with there have been one or two defections, but for the large part, the caucus has been very supportive of the speaker and really didn't want to engage in much, if any, discussion at all. In fact, Susan, they had their one-day legislative session, which was the day after this report came out. He dealt with it for the day. He's had to deal with it. He, and this is Speaker Bulger, he's had to deal with it really in drips and drabs, but, you know, being on break the way they are right now, I think it makes this a whole lot easier for the Republicans, not just the Speaker, but for the Republican Party to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. And they seem to be content to blame Roy Schmidt for all this, and certainly he, you know, deserves blame, but, you know, he's also the lower-hanging fruit for them. He hasn't been a Republican for that long, and does anybody believe that Roy Schmidt orchestrated all of this?
Well, certainly, you know, that's the other point that you make perfectly well, is that this was not just a one-sided thing. This was not just Roy Schmidt going to Jace Bulger and saying, I got to get out of this Democratic Party thing, man. This is just a nightmare for me. You got to help me get out of this. And that's not what happened. It's not exactly not what happened. I always find it interesting, and then we're going to have to go to the break. What I find interesting about this to this day is that Roy Schmidt allowed the Democrats to raise money for him, allowed them to knock doors for him. I mean, literally up until the moment it's announced that he's switching parties, not understanding that there would be repercussions to this. This is so confusing to me, Susan. I just don't know that I do know. I'm not made that way. I could not have done that.
You know, most Democrats that I talked to were just really bewildered and hurt by the whole thing because, you know, Roy was like the nicest guy in the world, and he wasn't the most political guy either, so this really came out of the blue.
Well, in fact, a lawmaker suggested on this very show just a couple days ago that he wasn't the smartest guy in the House, but I don't know that, so I'll just let it stand where it's at. With that said, Susan, we've got to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Hoekstra-Durant case, and Durant's got some issues now. The Michigan Democratic Party, as Mark Brewer will tell us in about an hour, has got their fingers out, and they're pointing them at the Durant campaign. We'll get to that and new poll numbers that show the president doing better than most thought he would be here in the state of Michigan at this point. Let's take a quick break. Susan Demas is with us. We'll be back right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Trippiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW. CW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us in studio is David Kinesic. David is a Democrat running for state representative in Michigan's 11th House District. For the life of you, can you imagine why your opponent would be saying you did not serve?
You know, Tony, I honestly cannot off the top of my head. These are the types of things that I expected as a candidate, you know. We're trying to do everything right. We're reaching out to the people. You know, you talked about the endorsements. Endorsements are great, but endorsements don't vote. We're running a very aggressive campaign on the ground. We're getting some great feedback from everybody on the doors. And so these sorts of things, they don't hurt my feelings. I think it's just sort of speaks volumes as to the type of campaign other people want to run. Really, don't come and tell me that, you know, I never served in the military. Go tell my mother. Go tell my mother that every night she stood up waiting for a phone call, or every week that went by that she didn't get a phone call. Go tell her that I never served in the military.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a shame.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano on 1310 WDTW.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trippiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Mirrors journalist Susan Demas is my guest. She is every week at this time. We'll move on just for the sake of time, and let's, you know, since you and I last visited, Gary Glenn has left the Senate race, thrown his weight behind Clark Durant. If we're looking at polls, I don't know that it's making much of a difference. Certainly Pete Hoekstra is still leading the way, Susan, but then we've got the story that broke yesterday through the Michigan Democratic Party that the Durant campaign, well, not the campaign, but the Durant family, including Clark and his daughter, are basically taking money that is meant for a charity, perhaps in illegal ways. This is all getting a little confusing.
Yeah, the Michigan Democrat Party is filing a complaint with the IRS about the Genesis Foundation, which is a foundation affiliated with Clark Durant. And Mark Brewer claims that both Durant and his daughter made about $1.4 million from this charity in, from 2009 to 2010, and that violates several sections of the tax law, according to Mark, because Durant is on the board. It's the money is supposed to be going for the mission instead of, you know, personally enriching Durant and his daughter. So we'll see how all that turns out. I'm interested to see what polling will show in the next couple weeks, because we're seeing a whole lot more ads, a whole lot more money being thrown into this race. And at least one outside group is coming in for Durant, and I have a feeling more around the way. So I think this race could get very interesting.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We do know that the Tea Party factions, and that's the plural because there are more than one here in the state of Michigan, do not support Pete Hoekstra. At the same time, I'm going to make what I think is a fairly safe assumption that the Pete Hoekstra will be the Republican Senate candidate to run against Debbie Stabenow. With that said, Susan Demas, what happens to the Tea Party once the primaries are behind us on August 8th and they're left with Pete Hoekstra? What are they going to do?
You know, in this instance, I think they'll pretty well coalesce around him. He has gotten some Tea Party support, and he certainly plays up his relationship with Michelle Bachmann and the Congressional Tea Party Caucus. I think they prefer somebody else, but I don't think they're, you know, to the point where they'll sit it out. There are some people that really seem to get on the Tea Party's nerves, like Dick Lugar down in Indiana. They just could not handle that guy, because he was a friend of Barack Obama's. So that was all there was to it. But with Pete Hoekstra, you know, I think that he'll get their support. And, you know, we'll see how it all turns out. You know, in other races, like Indiana and Nebraska, if you have enough outside groups coming in, that can make a real difference. We'll just have to see if it's too late.
You're right. And with under 2 weeks, it just may be. Although, interestingly, for Debbie Stabenow, she's not had to spend any money to this point. That's not true of any other candidate, who will all now need to raise some significant cash to even begin to play catch-up with her financially. I don't know that there's a Republican that's well-seated at this point to do that, but we'll see what happens once the primary's behind us, Susan.
Yeah, I don't think anybody will catch up to Debbie Stabenow's personal financing, but thanks to Citizens United, the Supreme Court decision, most of the fundraising game is now outside and with those independent groups, and I think that's what the Democrats are concerned about.
Yep, absolutely. There's no question that's true. Well, let's move on to the last topic this morning, and that's, of course, something I mentioned before the break. New presidential polling out showing Barack Obama, the president of the United States, doing a little better in Michigan than some originally thought he might be doing. He's also doing quite well in Ohio and some other swing states. What do the polls tell us, Susan?
Well, the polls have been a mixed bag over the last couple months. The three polls that have come out this week, you've got Rasmussen, which is Republican. They show Barack Obama up by 8. Steve Mitchell's firm, Mitchell Research out of East Lansing, they show Mitt Romney up by 1. And then Public Policy Polling, which is a Democratic firm, shows Obama up by 14. So, you know, if you want to go with the middle one, it would be an 8-point race. I think you have to say that it's a close race. I don't think that Obama is going to win by, 14 or 16 points like he did in 08. But, right now, I don't think that even the Romney campaign really believes that he's going to win Michigan.
No, and I don't see that either. They're not putting an infrastructure in here. They're not spending money in Michigan. And this has nothing to do with the primary, because there is no primary at the federal level. So that's not something that they would be concerning themselves with. They're just not building a machine here. And the Republicans can spin this any way they want, and they try to do that. At the end of the day, we have to look at the reality. The reality is the Obama team has built a machine in the state of Michigan, as I'm intimately aware, because they're in touch with me on a daily basis. I belong to all of the different lists that you can belong to, as I'm sure you do as well, Susan Demas. And the bottom line is the Republican Party just isn't nearly as active as the Democrats are for the presidentials. That's all I'm saying. It's just my observation.
Well, and a Republican hasn't won Michigan in the presidential contest since George H.W. Bush, and everybody knows that history. It doesn't matter that Republicans run everything in Michigan right now. For the presidential race, we still tend to go blue. And, you know, I think that Obama has definitely been here since, gosh, probably 2007.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Well, it'll be interesting to see how these things change, because it's, as I said a little earlier in the show today, it's July. There's not an election till November, so those numbers are going to be roller coaster-like moving forward. Now, it's interesting, because we reported yesterday that the Obama campaign spent more than it brought in the month of June, which is really unusual for a presidential campaign that far out of the general election. I don't really know what it says, because it's never happened before, but I think it says that everybody's taken this very seriously, as of course they should, Susan.
Absolutely. I mean, we're seeing ads on TV right now for the presidential election. It's the middle of summer. That's pretty unusual.
It is pretty unusual. No question about it. Well, listen, I want to thank you for your time. I've got to tell you, it's as much as we enjoyed Emily Lawler, it's great to have you back, and we'll look forward to visiting with you again next week at this time.
Thanks so much, Tony.
You bet. Susan Demas with Mirrors and MLive.com. We're going to take a very, very quick break here. When we come back, David Hecker will be with us. He, of course, president of the American Federation of Teachers. Their national convention is in Detroit. We'll talk about that. A lot to get to as we work our way through the rest of the morning. Stay where you're at. I'm going to go get some more coffee. We'll finish this thing we call First Shift in the next hour, but you got to stay with us to find out what it's all about.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look at your traffic, we got an accident reported on southbound 275 just after 6 Mile. North Nicholson Road in both directions at Van Buren, that's blocked due to fallen power cables. And Van Dyke at 13 Mile, traffic lights are flashing in all directions, so please treat that as a four-way stop and use caution. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 86 degrees with thunderstorms scattered throughout the morning and afternoon. Tonight, rainy and 68. Tomorrow, 84 degrees with thunderstorms throughout the afternoon. And it's currently 74 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit, NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Mikluszewski. Accused Dark Knight killer James Holmes may have tipped his hand by mailing a package to a faculty member at the University of Colorado. But as NBC's Miguel Almaguer reports, the package sat in a mailroom unopened.
A law enforcement source now tells NBC News the package contained writings from Holmes about, quote, killing people. The university confirms it received a package Monday after the shooting.
London, no stranger to pomp and ceremony, but preparations are in high gear for this evening's arrival of the Olympic torch. Barricades surround Buckingham Palace and outline the route the torch will travel for tomorrow's opening ceremonies. Wall Street back on the plus side after a three-day slump. Stock futures higher this morning. And a new report shows more Americans are putting off retirement as households struggle to make ends meet, much less save for the future. Only 31% of Americans have put together a financial plan for those golden years. This is NBC News Radio. Congress fighting over taxes again. The Democrat-controlled Senate passing a bill that would extend Bush-era tax cuts only for households earning less than $250,000. NBC's Jennifer Johnson.
The Republican plan giving the cuts to everyone failed. A victory for President Obama. But the Democrats' plan is considered dead on arrival in the Republican-controlled House.
Unless Congress takes action, all the Bush-era tax cuts will expire at year's end. Realty Track reporting foreclosure activity is up again the first half of the year, led by California with the highest foreclosure rates, followed by Florida and Illinois. They're forecasting a flood of short sales through December. And the good book has been replaced by a naughty one at a resort hotel in England. The Damson Dean Hotel in the Lake District, now putting the soft-porn bestseller 50 Shades of Grey in night table drawers and giving the Gideon Bible the boot. I'm Jim Mikluszewski, NBC News Radio.
Almost done with the hors d'oeuvres. Soufflés are ready. Hey, Flo, how are those cupcakes coming?
Putting sprinkles on the last one now.
Great. Hey, I thought we had another tray of the red velvet. Have you seen it?
Me? What? Why would you? There's frosting on my face, isn't there?
Yeah.
Insuring your business vehicles with Progressive is like having Flo on the road with you. 24/7 live support, online bill pay, and expert claims. Now that's Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. United Financial Casualty Company and Affiliates.
The Make Room for Savings event is on right now at the Home Depot with our best values of the summer for any project in every room. Like the exclusive Delta Classic Chrome WaterSense faucet at a new lower price of only $49. Conserving water always makes sense. So does conserving money. Now you can do both beautifully while you make room for savings. Now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Strong public commitment to the euro voiced by the head of the European Central Bank. That's what is doing the trick this morning, launching European stock markets and U.S. stock futures higher. Right now, S&P futures gaining 14 points, NASDAQ futures up 30, Dow futures up 118, gains of about 1%. After the central bank boss told a gathering in London that the European Union is making steps toward greater cooperation, including an eventual sharing of national sovereignty. He also reiterated policymakers' commitment to preserve the single currency at any cost. A coffee and donut powerhouse in the eastern and parts of the central U.S. keeps unveiling expansion plans into the west and also into other countries. And it's paying off for Dunkin' Brands. The parent of Dunkin' Donuts and Baskin-Robbins reports a bigger-than-expected increase in earnings, thanks in large part to its aggressive expansions. The company also hiking its forecast for the full year. The stock is edging higher in early trades. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Business owners, how would you like to try a lead generation tool that is effective at finding targeted new prospects for free? Hoovers makes it easy to find the right business leads fast. They're so sure this technology can rev up your sales. They're offering you 50 free leads plus a 24-hour free trial. Log on now to hooversfree.com or call 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. Don't miss out. Go to hooversfree.com. That's hooversfree.com.
Hiya, Fred.
Hello, Beth.
You seen Eddie?
Yeah, he's in my workshop picking out tools to borrow.
Well, tell him I took the car to the Parts Plus Car Care Center for service.
So he'll be carless? Well, I hope he doesn't want me to run him around doing errands.
Oh, don't worry about that. I've got him rebuilding the handrail on the back step.
Oh, there goes my good soul.
He'll be busy with that all afternoon. And besides, Parts Plus won't keep me long. They never do.
Now hurry back.
For the location nearest you, go to PartsPlus.com.
With an industry-leading distribution network, Grainger can save you tons of downtime by offering over 900,000 products, many ready to ship right when you need them. In fact, 99% of items ordered ship same day. So fast, the International Acronym Committee is considering changing ASAP to ASAG, or as soon as Grainger. At least they would be considering it if there were such a committee. To help keep your business running efficiently, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Neither the teeming rains of India, nor the snows of Kilimanjaro, nor the glare of the paparazzi at a Hollywood opening can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
An idea. A thought. Born in Dearborn. The product of hard work, teamwork, pride. Put in the hands of the people.
For the people.
And made in America.
It's time to punch in for your
first shift. Now, here's Tony Trujillo.
And welcome back. It is Tony Trupiano, 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this glorious Thursday, the 26th day of July 2012. Hot and humid today. And that's okay. It's summer in Michigan. In spite of what Jeff continues to sell you folks, I am not anti-summer. I truly am not. And enjoying this summer a great deal. If you can see me, I'm nice and tanned, which means I do get out for on the weekends for a couple hours every Saturday and every Sunday and worship my yard. I cut the grass. I do all the things that men do in their yards. Anyway, with that being said, we've got a lot to get to in this hour, including at the very end of the hour, Mark Brewer, who will be stopping in to talk to us about a story that the Michigan Democratic Party broke yesterday with regard to a senatorial candidate, Clark Durant, and his daughter. But we'll wait for Mark for that. In the meantime, let's get to our intro and get to our next guest.
The empowering voice of the American Federation of Teachers, Michigan.
If I could just quote the New York Times, a portrait emerges of a company that tries to squeeze profits from public school dollars by raising enrollment, increasing teacher workload, and lowering standards. and they're talking about this one particular cyber private for-profit called K-12. The head of K-12, Mr. Packard, makes $5 million a year. That comes from the state allocation that a cyber school gets per child.
In with Tony
is President David Hecker.
And in with me is President David Hecker, and I appreciate you being here because God knows you've got nothing else to do today, David Hecker.
Well, it's always great to be here, and I may note that it's warm and muggy outside, and you are dressed appropriately for that. I am not.
Well, there's a profoundly good reason for that. You have, you've got some shepherd duties to do today. Of course, the AFT conference is now firmly here in the in the city of Detroit, and looking forward to spending the next 4 days with you folks and learning a lot and meeting some fascinating people. Let's talk briefly about what I mean. You've got your hands full, but in the best possible way.
It's obviously, as we spoke about before, it's fantastic. It's just for the city of Detroit, it's just a big economic driver when you know over 3,000 people come in for a convention and are here for 5 days. People are starting to come into town. We had professional development on Tuesday and Wednesday. Yesterday we had our exec council meeting. Today we do our community service. We always do tied to the convention, and that's going to be helping with urban farming in the city of Detroit. And, you know, a series of meetings today. And then tomorrow morning, the convention officially kicks off with the main event. Tomorrow morning is the keynote address of our president, Randy Weingarten. Then at noon, a number of delegates are going to go up to DPS, where, as you know, Roy Roberts refuses to negotiate with us. We have meetings in the afternoon of the different divisions of the AFT, and then we're very happy that Bob King will be addressing us Saturday morning.
Oh, how nice!
And then at the end of the session Saturday, as you know, we're going to get many, many delegates to join many of us in Michigan and go out and do canvassing in neighborhoods for our constitutional amendment. And so that's a major, major effort, and that's going to be great. And as our listeners who are in unions know, there's much more to do than that. There are serious resolutions, constitutional amendments that we will be debating. I just gave you the book of the resolutions that will be considered on numerous issues, and some of them will be hotly debated. They're a real, they're always great debates on the floor of the AFT convention.
You know, you had mentioned the last time that you were in studio with us was just 2 weeks ago that these are not all like they do at the in the state house with immediate effect. This isn't just automatic gavel. You folks actually have rigorous debate.
Yeah, no, this is rigorous debate. Obviously, some of the resolutions are I'll call no-brainers, go through, and others. You know, the debate is not really should this be our position or that should be our position. It is sometimes, but a lot of times it's the details of that and what are we striving to achieve and what's the best strategy as outlined in the resolution. A number get strong debate. People line up at the microphones, and it's great. It's what should happen. It's what democracy is about. We may want to tell the state house that, but it's what democracy is about.
Well, I will say that when the AFT Michigan had their convention at the Marriott just a few weeks back, and you invited me so graciously to come speak to that wonderful group, I did see people standing and lining up at the microphones to speak their mind on a variety of issues. So I do know that I've experienced that myself. I do want to let this audience know, not that they don't, because I've been talking about it for months now, but I will let them know that I will be there tomorrow and actually through the weekend and on Monday. So early Monday morning, I'm going to bring them some audio from the weekend. So looking forward to just meeting a lot of great people and just being there and participating in what is a historic event, not just for the city, but for the state of Michigan.
Hey, it's great. It's the first time in 32 years. As I told people the last time the AFT convention was in Detroit. My beard wasn't exactly as well trimmed as it is now. My hair was, slightly longer, a lot darker. And so I have a different look. But it's because it's been 32 years, but it's fantastic that we're back in town.
Well, that's great. We've got a variety of issues. Then we're not going to just sit here and talk about the preview of the convention because we're going to actually be at the convention. So we'll be handling that over the next few days. There are some issues that I do want to get to with you. One of them comes from Wayne State University. where they want to change the rules, the tenure rules. And here we go again. The American Association of University Professors, which does have an affiliation with the American Federation of Teachers. So I want to make that connection first so people understand why we're discussing that, because not everybody knows that that connection exists.
Well, at Wayne State, the local union of tenured faculty at Wayne State is a joint local. It's a local affiliated with both us, the American Federation of Teachers, and the American Association of University Professors. The AFT then, by ourselves, represent the grad assistants and the non-tenured track, but we have a good partnership with the tenured faculty.
All right. Well, what is happening at Wayne State? I briefly went over this story on Tuesday, but what's happening over there, and why should we be concerned?
Well, we're in bargaining actually with we recently achieved a new contract for the non-tenure track. We're in bargaining with the graduate teaching assistants, so we're also in bargaining with the tenured faculty. And concerning the tenured faculty, the university has made a proposal which, in answering a question at the bargaining table, their chief negotiator said, yes, this proposal eliminates tenure. And, you know, we all know that what tenure is about is academic freedom. Without academic freedom, universities and colleges are a shell of what they would be otherwise. The faculty don't have the freedom to talk about ideas, talk about issues without fear and concern of political retaliation, then, you know, what are we teaching our students? And there is a proposal on the table, which, again, the Wayne State University Administration negotiator said agreed that it would eliminate tenure. So there are other very, very onerous concessions being demanded, but that has become national news on tenure. Again, it's a mainstay of academic freedom, which we so strongly believe in. So we're fighting back against that.
Let me read a quote from the Detroit News article of this past weekend. Wayne State University President Alan Gilmore, and these are his words, David Hecker. Let me quote him. I think it's very important to state first that the vast majority of our faculty are excellent and do an outstanding job of teaching and research. It's the small minority who require more care on our part. Yes, they are very few, but even one is too many, and we need to be able to address these problems quickly and fairly. This is the purpose of the proposals being misrepresented as eliminating tenure. Your thoughts?
Well, first I'll say, and I'm not just saying this. This is I have a lot of respect for Alan Gilmore and the kind of person he is, the kind of leader he is. I enjoy the give and take and meeting when I have a chance to meet with him. But you know, at the bargaining table, you know, the union bargaining team read the proposal and said, we read this to be eliminating tenure, and the representative of the university at the table said, yeah, that's pretty much it. And so it's good that that President Gilmore apparently is saying that's not the intent, okay? And it's good that President Gilmore is saying the overwhelming majority do an excellent job. There are a few that don't, and we have to be able to deal with that. And he's right. There no student should have any faculty member who isn't doing it, who isn't cutting it, isn't doing the job. But there clearly are procedures. You know, people talk about tenure as a job for life. It's not a, you could get rid of you could dismiss a tenured faculty person. There's a process. It takes some work. It takes building up the case. Because again, tenure is very important to protect academic freedom.
But
you don't wipe out an entire system that is the foundation of a university because there are a handful of faculty, you know, out of 2,000 that you have a problem with.
Let me just give some numbers so that the audience has an idea. Wayne State University has 739 tenured faculty members, 317 tenured track faculty members, and 750 non-tenured faculty. That's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people.
All right. Well, we need to take a break, so let's do that. And we've got a lot more to get to. David Hecker, my guest. He, of course, president of the American Federation of Teachers. I am Tony Truppiano. Feel free to join us, by the way, 888-552-3595. We'll take the break here. We'll come back and continue on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
Chip with Tony Triano.
You're calling Mitt Romney a liar.
Well, you seem shocked by it. Yes. This is a man whose staff created the PAC. His millionaire friends fund the PAC. He pretends he has nothing to do with the PAC. It's baloney. He's not telling the American people the truth.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, we got an accident that's blocking your left lane on US 23 southbound just before 6 Mile. And we got a lot of heavy traffic on M14 westbound between Beck Road and US 23. And your traffic lights are flashing in all directions on Van Dyke at 13 Mile. Of course, treat that as a four-way stop. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Ford.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 86 degrees with thunderstorms scattered throughout the morning and afternoon. Tonight, rainy and 68. Tomorrow, 84 degrees with thunderstorms throughout the afternoon. And it's currently 74 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
This is U.S. Congressman Gary Peters, and I'm running for re-election in the 14th District. Other communities in this new district, like Pontiac, Southfield, and Oak Park, already know my passion for serving. They know my track record of getting things done, like helping President Obama pass the health care bill and save the auto industry. They know that I also helped create nearly 3,500 jobs in our area. And while I may not be from Detroit, the fights I've led in Congress have benefited struggling families across this city. That's why this message is for you, Detroit. I firmly believe that our region will never be successful without a vibrant city of Detroit. If you vote for me, I commit to you that no other candidate will ever outwork me, and that no other community will ever outweigh you. I'm asking for the honor of serving you in the new 14th Congressional District, and more importantly, I'm asking for your vote. I'm Gary Peters, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after the hour. Welcome back. I am Tony Trupiano. David Hecker, my guest. He is president of the American Federation of Teachers of Michigan. And we now switch topics to the Detroit Public Schools. I had your friend and colleague Keith Johnson on the show a week ago Monday, David, who spoke passionately about the need to be heard. I do think that we need to fundamentally lay down some groundwork. When you have an emergency manager, and part of their admonition can be to negotiate, and if they refuse to do that, what message does that send to the team of people that is trying to lead a group that is struggling to understand their worth to, I don't know, management, if you will, because I don't think the teachers understand that. I do think they understand. Management could care less at this point.
Well, you know, it's absolutely. I mean it's about voice. I mean, no employee at DPS is under any illusions about the financial standing of the district, although it is far, 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 far better than it was a couple of years ago, thanks to union concessions, thanks to union innovative ideas.
Repeated union concessions.
It is much, you know, the debt was $350, $360. Now it's like $73 million. Not insignificant, but a tremendous, tremendous drop. And, you know, we don't represent city employees, but city employees, you know, they're intelligent people. They understand the plight of the city and that these are tough times. But, you know, what we're talking about here when management refuses to bargain is not wanting to hear the worker voice. And that is of major concern. We're not telling, Roy Roberts, bargain with us and then agree with everything we have to say. That's not, we'd like him to, but we're obviously not telling him that. What we're saying is respect the teachers, respect the support staff at DPS, and don't just say you'll talk with us, say you will bargain with us, because just talking with us is really meaningless conversation. You have to commit to actually bargain, to actually work out issues and craft solutions. And by telling teachers you don't want to do that, it isn't the greatest form of respect an understatement here when you say you really don't want to engage in meaningful discussion.
When you impose orders upon a group of people, when you say to them, this is what I'm going to pay you, this is what I'm going to give you for benefits, this is the way it's going to be, and if you don't like it, well, tough, because this is what I'm offering. Yeah, that does certainly set a foundation. Here we are going into a new school year. We understand, and as you said, we understand the constraints that the school system is in. We also understand that people like Roy Roberts have never spent a day in the classroom. They have no idea what it's like to teach a child. They have no idea what it's like to be an administrator in a school. And I'm not exaggerating here. He has no idea what it's like to do this. So at some level, I begin to ask myself what qualifies him to pretend that this is just a business, because it's not. Schools
right.
are not just businesses,
it's not just
David
a business. And it's important when someone comes in to run any organization that they have not, I'll say grown up in, probably the wrong term, but if they have not grown up in. The key is for them to understand that and to know this is what I know, this is what I don't know. And so I have to rely on other people for what I don't know rather than pretending I know what I don't know. You know, Roy tells us of his years as a UAW member, working his way up to management at General Motors. I mean, it's a great story. It's a great history. I believe he is, you know, the first African American to reach the heights that he reached in management in General Motors. That's a great tribute to him. But he also talks to us about his work with Saturn when he was at GM. And as we all know, the history of Saturn is joint labor management, work together, figure this out. We're all a team. And, you know, why doesn't he bring that approach to DPS?
That's a great question, and he obviously doesn't feel that he needs to respond. In fact, his response to this has been, you know, listen, I've done what I've needed to do. I'm doing that what needs to again, it always goes back to saving money. I get that they don't have the money. David, I get that. But there's also a dynamic. There's also this thing called chemistry. There's a camaraderie. I mean, this is the school system, for God's sake. We're not, with all due respect to my friends in the auto industry, and I have many of them, this is not building cars. This is building the future.
Any management should want the meaningful input of the people doing the work. And bargaining is meaningful. Just sitting down and saying, I'll listen to you, isn't really meaningful. And any manager should want that. Any manager should want to work together to craft. You get the best solutions, but you also then get the buy-in for what the solution is, which is incredibly important because it's the teachers, it's the support staff who educate the children. It's not you know, day to day. It's not the administrators. Administrative jobs are important jobs. You got to keep the place operating and moving. But the people in the classroom or directly supporting the classroom, it's their ideas that really matter.
Well, you know, and it's not like parents don't read the paper or watch the news or listen to the radio shows, and it's not that they don't know that there are these challenges going on. And when their children go into that classroom, they know that teacher is under a lot of duress. That matters. As a parent, that matters to me. Let me quickly go to the phone because we're up against the break. Again, if you want to join us, 888-552-3595. Amir in Detroit joins us now. Amir, thanks for giving us a call this morning. You're on the air with David Hecker.
Hey, how you doing, Tony and David?
Good morning.
When you sit down and negotiate with Mr. Roberts or his so-called negotiations, put this on you all sides. Him and all his staff take a 70% pay cut. They want to save us money. And start negotiating on that end of it. Tell him to cut out his own salary. If he's so worried about the school saving money, cut out his salary. He makes, what, probably about four times what teachers make?
More, I think. Right.
Okay, so come on. I mean, people, right. It is not this hard to do things right. The people have a right to negotiate with who they're employed by. So, Mr. Roberts, I know you're not listening, but if anybody in your staff is, cut your salary.
All right.
You're taking my money and putting it to waste.
Thank you, Amir. I appreciate your comments. Go ahead, David.
Thanks for your comments. I was going to say it'd be great if Roy Robbins did listen to First Shift. There'd be a great education. There'd be great education there. But I appreciate those comments. Leadership acting in certain ways, even if symbolic, because that amount of money isn't going to make a major difference financially, but it's a very important statement to make.
Well, you know, and I appreciate what Amir has. I remember when the story broke that Roy Roberts had a driver, and he's got this brand new car, and he talked about the old one had 100,000 miles on it. Somebody called the show and asked a simple question. Was there anything wrong with the car? To our knowledge, no. Did it work fine? To our knowledge, yes. Did the air conditioning still work? Yeah. Did they put new tires on it every? Yeah. Well, then why did you need a new car? If it doesn't matter how many miles it has on it, I've got a car that has 212,000 miles on it, but I take care of it and it still runs great. He doesn't need a new car, and he certainly didn't need a driver.
Well, I always get, I look forward to the day when someone in Roy Roberts' job should have a driver. Because that means Detroit is all the way back, and it is packed, and you can't find parking spots. And to ask someone like that, you know, to park and then walk 30 minutes, I look forward to the day when someone in that job needs a driver, because that means this city is all the way back.
We'll take a break and be right back. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by NBC.
Checking your traffic, we got an accident that's blocking your left lane on US 23 southbound just before 6 mile. And we got a lot of heavy traffic on M14 westbound between Beck Road and US 23. And your traffic lights are flashing in all directions on Van Dyke at 13 mile. Of course, treat that as a four-way stop. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Tomorrow, don't miss the biggest event of the year as the world's greatest athletes come together on the world's biggest stage for the opening ceremony of the London Olympic Games. Tomorrow in prime time, 7:30, 6:30 p.m. Central on NBC.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 86 degrees with thunderstorms scattered throughout the morning and afternoon. Tonight, rainy and 68. Tomorrow, 84 degrees with thunderstorms throughout the afternoon, and it's currently 74 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Trippiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
America's working stiffs are mostly stuck in the muck of depression these days, spinning their economic wheels with low wages that can't even keep pace with inflation. But there are some good news stories about some who are doing well, such as David Simon. Through good old American ingenuity, Dave quintupled his pay last year, pocketing $68,500 an hour. In the previous year, poor Dave was only paid about $13,000 an hour. But apparently, he really applied himself in 2011 and was rewarded with an annual paycheck of $137 million. See, the American dream is still alive for those who believe in it and who happen to be CEOs of corporations with compliant boards of directors that lavish shareholder money on the chief. David is honcho of Simon Properties, a shopping mall operator, and he topped the list of last year's most richly rewarded executives. While typical American workers saw their pay barely inch up by a meager 1% in 2011, a sum totally eaten up and then some by the price increases for gasoline, groceries, rent, and other essentials, the typical corporate chieftain socked away $9.6 million. It would take 244 years on the job for a typical employee to make what those bosses hauled off in 1 year. Especially galling is the sight of such CEOs as Brian Moynihan cashing in. The boss of Bank of America, Moynihan's pay jumped by 600% last year, even as his bank is foundering. BOA's stock value has plummeted by 81%, some 36,000 employees are getting pink slips, and the bailed-out behemoth has become widely despised for ruthlessly and often illegally foreclosing on people's homes. This is Jim Hightower saying, and that's why more and more Americans these days spell boss backwards, double S-O-B.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Tribbiani.
All right, we're going to continue.
Yeah.
I always walk all over Steve. Sorry about that, buddy. We're always going to have love for City of Detroit teachers and the public school system in Detroit. They have been stressed for so long. You know, Amir, who called David, often reminds us that the people of Detroit have been very, very good financially to the school board and to the school system, approving millages and bonds, and the state took a lot of that money and didn't give it back and hasn't been spent properly. They'll be the first one, as you know, they'll be the first ones to tell you they've tried to step up and do the right thing, and it hasn't always been managed properly.
First of all, you're right. The people of the city of Detroit have been incredibly generous over the years in supporting the schools. You know, before we changed how schools were funded in 1994, there were local millage votes all the time, incredibly generous, and now there are still bond votes. And so what is happening now, as you know, as Keith may have spoken about, is a number of years ago, the people of the city of Detroit, in great support of Detroit Public Schools, passed a big bond issue to renovate schools and to build new schools. So now, some of the brand new schools, like a new Mumford High School,
right,
in which people, the city of Detroit, voted for a bond issue for DPS to have new schools, that school is now being rented, quote unquote, you may say given, but rented to the Education Achievement Authority for a dollar a year. The people in Detroit said, I want a brand new school in Detroit, more than one school, but I want a brand new school for DPS, and now it's being rented for a dollar a year to EAA.
Yeah, it's just wrong.
It's
not what they voted for.
It's not what they voted for. And if you want to rent that school for fair market price because you don't feel you need it, first of all, DPS does need it. It's a beautiful new facility. But if you felt you didn't, well, then rent it for fair market price.
Thank you very much. All right, let's move on. We had the ACLU on a couple weeks ago as well, talking about the lawsuit against the state, the emergency manager in Highland Park. You and I haven't had a chance to talk about that since that news broke. David, your thoughts on what's going on in Highland Park?
Well, we're proud to have represented the teachers and the paraprofessionals in Highland Park. The district is in very, very difficult shape. It has a 60% negative fund balance. So on a budget of about $20 million, they owe about $12 million. This is clearly not the fault of the teachers, not the fault of the paraprofessionals or the other staff at the school. It's the way the school district's been managed. Up until a few years ago, there were rotating superintendents in, out, in, out, in, out. There is a declining student population. We all know it's a very, very low-income community. And ACLU lawsuit highlighted numbers, which are, you know, as a society, we should be ashamed of ourselves that we allow that situation to happen, where so few kids are reading at grade level. Teachers are working. They're working hard. Paraprofessionals are working. Are working hard, but there is no support for the schools from the state. The amount of financial support is de minimis. When it was totally mismanaged, the state didn't come in and do anything about that. The state has totally abandoned the city of Highland Park after Chrysler left a long time ago. The state never said, okay, Chrysler's gone. We have to figure out how we help maintain and build Highland Park. It's Highland Park's been walked away from. And it is unfortunate, high levels of poverty. And, you know, every research study will show you that children, from high poverty communities bring certain things to the table, or they don't bring certain things to the table. They certainly bring to the table parents who care a great deal, but parents who don't have the resources or the experience or the background or the time, because they're working multiple jobs at minimum wage, to really do for their kids the way they wanted to for their kids. And the state is really, both the school district and the city have really abandoned, and this is over years, I'm not just pinning this on Governor Snyder, over years have really abandoned the city of Highland Park. And it's the impact on the kids. I applaud the ACLU for saying, you know, again, this is despicable. Every child deserves a great education. Look at these numbers in Highland Park. The state has to do what it needs to do to support our teachers, support our staff. And then, as we know, so the quote-unquote solution is not, the state will admit, is not educationally driven at all. It's financially driven.
Right.
They want to turn every, they're going to, they plan to, as in Muskegon Heights, but in Highland Park, turn every school into a charter school. They'll be the first to tell you that's not educationally driven. The reason for that is there'll be a Highland Park school district with a very, 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 very small administrative staff, because they're not really going to operate any schools. They're going to charter three or four schools. So when a school district or anybody charters a school, that chartering group gets 3% off the top of the foundation allowance. Then the rest of the foundation allowance per child goes to the charter school. And then there is a local millage, small, but a local millage that still remains for Highland Park schools. Although Highland Park will not directly run any schools, there will be a Highland Park school district, so they'll continue to get the millage. And so the idea is you take the 3% off the top of the foundation allowance that they get for chartering schools, you take the local millage, you have an extremely small, because you don't need any kind of administrative staff, you're just chartering schools,
right,
you're not running schools, and then you use that income to the school district to help put a dent in the debt. And, you know, dealing with finances is extremely important, but the most important thing is a great education for all our children.
Well, you know, and of course, as I read the lawsuit and as I talked to the attorney from the ACLU, and we talked passionately about how kids were being really cheated in some regard, that this really was very much about adults taking their eye off the ball. It's so important, David Hecker, as we talk about, you know, filling minds and hearts, because when you're in the third grade or you're in the first grade or you're in the sixth grade, it's still about fundamentals of reading and writing and arithmetic. It's about being able to express yourself. It's about writing essays with those fat pencils on that big piece of paper and bringing that stuff home to mom and dad. If kids can't do that, David, at a fundamental level, we are failing them, and that's just disappointing.
We are failing them, and that's the number one point. We're also failing ourselves and our communities, because how are communities going to prosper if we don't provide the resources and the support for our children to get the education they deserve?
Well, we'll, of course, continue to keep an eye on that. We've got a couple minutes left, so before we let you go and make room for Mark Brewer today, you wanted to talk about the kids' count report, so I'll throw that to you.
Right, thank you. And this is all really tied into the, I mean, it's direct link to the Highland Park situation. So in every year, the Annie E. Casey Foundation funds a kids' count report. So a recent report came out, and, you know, here are some numbers. The percentage of children living in poverty increased by nearly a third. This is nationally. A third between 2000 and 2010, and increased 16% between 2005 and 2010. The 2010, the number of teens not in school or working was 10%. The number of kids living in high poverty neighborhoods has increased 22%. Since 2005. And there are some indices that are getting better. The number of children in preschool, not nearly enough. It needs to be universal. It is not close to that. The number of children with health care, thank you, Barack Obama. But these other statistics I mentioned, I mean, it's tied into, directly linked with the situation we talked about in Highland Park. Poverty matters. You know, I always talk about my family situation. And, you know, in my our three kids, you know, they come home to two parents who, you know, thanks to our parents, have had the opportunity to get an advanced formal education. We have good jobs, so whatever we could provide our kids to supplement their education, we could afford, really, for both of us, thanks to the labor movement. You know, they come home to three laptops and a desktop. They have traveled the United States. They have traveled different parts of the world. And again, that's all thanks to the American labor movement. That makes a difference. That's what every parent would like to be able to provide their kid. That makes a major, major difference. And so the statistics that the NEE Casey Foundation have found to be the case is directly linked to, you know, problems you have in cities like Highland Park. And it's, you know, hopefully in my lifetime, and winning in November will help get us in the right direction. But society and elected officials need to understand that it's a whole picture, it's a whole package, and we need to address the core issues, and poverty is a major core factor in a lot that is not happening the way it should.
In less than a minute, school vouchers being hidden by this governor under school reform. Your thoughts on that before we let you go for today?
Well, it's, you know, it's not just myself or the American Federation of Teachers that deplores school vouchers. Back about 10, 11 years ago, there was a vote in Michigan, and Michigan voters voted 2-1 to say, we support our public schools. Public dollars should not go to fund private education.
Okay, that's going to do it for us for today. I will see you all weekend long, though.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tony.
Looking forward to it. All right, everybody stay right where they're at. When we come back, Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, will be my guest. And, again, you can look forward over the next few days, this show being live from Cobo Hall at the American Federation of Teachers annual convention. In the meantime, we'll take the break and wrap things up on First Shift right after we do this on 1310 WDTW.
I am so upset that I think the Olympic Committee should be ashamed of themselves. I think they should be embarrassed. I think they should take all the uniforms, put them in a big pile, and burn them and start all over again.
On 1310 WDTW.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege.
Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back, everybody. 10 minutes before the top of the hour as we get ready to wrap things up today. But we do not walk away because we've got some incredibly important information to get to. Those of you that were listening to Monday know that I was out sick. Unfortunately, we didn't have a chance to talk to Mark Brewer. That's okay. We've got him now, and we've got him now because there's a pretty significant development, which we mentioned a little earlier on in the show. We didn't articulate it because we knew that we would have the chairman on. So let's welcome Chairman Brewer back to First Shift. And, Mark, I appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. Mark, this is potentially an explosive story.
Oh, yes, very, very much so, Tony. And, by the way, it's great to be back on with you. I'm glad that you're feeling better. We miss your voice.
Thank you.
Every morning.
I appreciate that. Twice in 20 years I missed, and so that was one of them. But Anyway, let's articulate this story a little bit. Clark Durant and his daughter, Mark, the Michigan Democratic Party has asked the IRS to do something fairly unusual. What's going on?
Well, Tony, it's very, very simple what Clark Durant did here. He started a foundation now about 20 years ago whose sole purpose was to help kids in Detroit afford to go to the Cornerstone School. Well, very quietly, a few years ago, this foundation now pays about 95%, Tony. That's not an accurate number. 95% of all the money it raises goes to pay Clark Durant and his daughter. That's the facts. A foundation that was intended to help kids in Detroit, the money is instead being used to pay Clark Durant and his daughter, at this point, about $1.4 million, $1.5 million. $100,000. We think this violates all kinds of provisions of the tax code against self-dealing and other kinds of things. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of the stuff we get out of Mitt Romney, right? Manipulate the tax code for your own personal benefit. So Clark Durant is enriching himself at the expense of kids in Detroit. That's what this is about. He's desperately spinning and all this other kind of stuff to try to obfuscate this and hide it. That's the bottom line. He got caught with his hand in the cookie jar, and we're going to raise this for the IRS.
Well, has Clark Durant or his daughter responded to these allegations at all, Mark?
Well, it's interesting. I did a little radio debate this morning, Tony, with Clark Durant. And all he does is to try to take it back to, oh, I'm doing such great work. I'm helping all these kids, and this is just an unfair attack. You know, he refuses to answer the central allegation. Why is 95% of the money that's being raised to this foundation to help kids going directly into your pocket and the pocket of your daughter?
Now, Mark,
so it's a lot of spin, a lot of smoke, Tony.
Is this as a result of the story that was released the other day that showed that he was making over $500,000 a year? Is this how this information ended up coming to you?
Yes, that really triggered it. That we saw, and that's a whole other issue, this excessive compensation that he's getting, given his duties. But now we come to find out that he's abusing this foundation that was set up to help kids in order to funnel this money, siphon this money into the pockets of him and his daughter. But that did trigger it, Tony, and we're calling him out on it. He's a hypocrite. If somebody runs around and talks about what a great person he is and how he's helping kids, well, he's been being called out as a hypocrite and as a scam artist because he's actually taking money from those kids to enrich himself and his daughter.
Well, that really is the point, Mark. For every dollar that Clark Durant or anybody on the staff takes that is in excess of what you might be compensated at the public school level is a dollar less a child gets. And this doesn't take a genius to figure out. There's a direct correlation there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, he's just upset because he got caught. It's kind of like what we've been going through with Jace Bulger. You know, Jace Bulger isn't upset because of the scheme he pulled and the perjury that he encouraged. No, he's upset because he got caught. And the same thing here is going on with Clark Durant. I mean, we see this hypocrisy again and again, Tony. I think we're starting to see a real culture of corruption in the Republican Party in this state. You know, Thad McCotter with unprecedented petition fraud, this conspiracy to undermine the election, to rig an election involving Jace Bulger, involving perjury along the way. And now Clark Durant diverting money that should go to kids in Detroit into his own pocket. That's a party with a lot of corruption and a lot of problems, Tony.
Well, there's no question. And Mark, I'm so glad that the Michigan Democratic Party is not only outing this for what it really is, which is just pure and simple greed. I mean, this is greed. And this isn't, you know, this isn't about, it's not like he's the front runner here. It's not like, you know, this is the guy that's all of a sudden, because he's got, God forbid, Gary Glenn's endorsement going to somehow propel himself to the front of the heap here. This is a guy that is trying to pretend he's seriously something that he's not. What he is a money-grubbing fool. This is ridiculous that he would take, they literally steal this kind of money from children.
No, that's exactly what's going on here, and that's the inescapable fact. Tony, I mean, you should listen to Durant. I mean, he'll spend, you know, 5-6 minutes spinning and obfuscating, throwing up smoke and trying to divert attention from the bottom line here, a foundation he set up to help kids in Detroit. 95% of its money now is going to enrich Clark Durant and his daughter. It's that simple. It's wrong. We think it's illegal. And we're going to file a complaint with the Internal Revenue Service to get to the bottom of this.
All right. Well, I appreciate, again, your leadership on this and so many issues that are happening right now. God knows you've got no lack of things to do, Mark. So thank you for your time this morning.
Good, Tony. And stay well. We need your voice on the air.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Thank you so much. I do appreciate that. I'll be fine. Mark Brewer, again, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. That's pretty much going to clean it up for us today. So let me just lay out what we've got coming up over the next couple of days so that you understand. Our regularly scheduled guests for Friday and Monday will not be with us, and they have all been informed of that, so you know. We will tomorrow in the first hour, it'll pretty much be what it usually is with Jeff and I. In the second and third hours, we'll bring you guests from the American Federation of Teachers National Convention. which is in town all weekend long. Over the weekend, I will avail myself to those that are at the conference, collecting some interviews. We will share some of that audio with you, which I will feed to Jeff over the weekend. We'll share some of that audio with you on Monday morning early on, and then I will be, of course, at the convention again on Monday, where we will wrap up our commitment to the American Federation of Teachers National Conference. And I hope to bring you as many fascinating stories as we can possibly find there. Looking forward, actually, to spending parts of the weekend there, as there are going to be some really fascinating folks from around the country and around the world. We're going to try to give you a little bit of an international flavor to the show as we work our way through the next few days. So we are going to be Education Central over the next few days. I think you're going to enjoy it. I promise to do my best to bring you a lot of diversity. With that said, that is going to clean it up for us today. I want to thank Anthony and Jeff for everything they do and are going to do over the next few days, because this involves a team of people. I don't do any of this alone, and I think you all know that. But never want to forget who helps me get this thing done. Of course, that also includes all of you. Off the air, Tony at thetonyshow.org. And as always, folks, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look at your rush hour traffic, you got an accident that has your left lane blocked on US 23 southbound just before 6 Mile. Another accident has your right shoulder blocked on the Lodge southbound at Linwood. And we got heavy traffic on 75 southbound between Rochester Road and 94. Over at westbound M14 between Beck Road and Ford Road, you got stop and go traffic there. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Drive through McDonald's and grab one of your favorite menu items under 400 calories. Try a fruit and maple oatmeal for breakfast, or treat yourself to a real fruit smoothie in the afternoon. All your favorites, all under 400 calories. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 86 degrees with thunderstorms scattered throughout the morning and afternoon. Tonight, rainy and 68. Tomorrow, 84 degrees with thunderstorms throughout the afternoon, and it's currently 74 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.